It's time for Benedictine Raven football on your local sports authority, CARE 93.7 FM, part of the MSC Radio Network. Streaming free on the MSC Radio app and online at msc-sports.net. Kick off the new season with a visit to an old friend, Mueller's Locker Room. Since 1988, Mueller's has been Atchison's original sports bar and grill, serving up great food, cold beer, and all your favorite spirits. Whether you're hanging out in the dugout or relaxing on the deck, Mueller's is the place to be. Locally owned and operated, it's been the hot spot for good times for over 30 years. Mueller's Locker Room, 120 South 2nd in Atchison, your sports bar for all seasons.
Do you know how to recognize a phone scam? At Union State Bank, we're focused on keeping your financial future secure, and that means providing the information you need to keep your accounts protected. There are several red flags that can help you recognize a scam, such as a request for sensitive information or the promise that you'll get a prize. You can learn more about how to recognize a phone scam at mybankusb.com or visit one of our 8 convenient USB locations for valuable information about how to protect your assets. NMLS 654946, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.
Raven football coming up here on CARE Radio, and we're joined by head coach Joel Osborne. And coach, first of all, congratulations. Tremendous home win for your guys last week in front of a great crowd in Atchison.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Tom. I thought our kids came out ready to go, and like any good program like Baker is, they responded and made their own run, and then we turned right around and drove down the field on a, like, we played, used some tempo plays, and Jackson hit Gathright for a big touchdown, and then you had Isaiah Haston just made a tremendous play on the pick six, and that really kind of separated the game for a while. And but give Baker credit, they stayed in there, and backup quarterback came in, and he played pretty well, and that was a heck of a game. And I thought the crowd was tremendous. There was not an empty seat in the house, and there's people all over the hill. And that last drive, that's as loud as I've heard Wilcox Stadium since I've been here.
We always talk about offense, and we'll get to them, but Isaiah, the freshman, making just a pivotal play. I mean, it was a big play at a big time. I mean, very impressive for that young man.
Yeah, we've known about his talent. He was a tremendous player coming out of high school in the San Diego area. And really, he came on his visit, and he's a guy, Tom, that could play DB or receiver. He's got great ball skills, and you saw that come into play on that pick. They ran a quick out on him, and we were in man coverage, and he drove the route, and it was a good ball by the quarterback, but he has so much length that he was able to reach his arms out there and pick the ball off, and then, make a nice return up the sideline and make the quarterback miss and go score, which is huge to get points on that situation.
You talk about back to the offense, and you talk about the catch by Gathright. You guys were able to get that pass game going a little bit and move it downfield.
Yeah, we were, and I thought Jake came out and played really well. Credit to Baker. They came out and did some different things on defense than they've done in my first 3 years here. And, they really did a good job of keeping us on our toes. But I thought Jackson, really in the first half, we got in situations where we were in first and 20 because of a penalty or, second long and third long we converted. And then he did a nice job of converting some third downs there. And, anytime you play those guys rivalry game, people are going to play better than maybe they look on film. But those guys, I thought, did a tremendous job. I think their D coordinator, Tucker Pauley, does a great job down there. But Jackson, he's played again 4 times now, 2 in JV, 2 in varsity. He's 4-0. And I know it's a big game for him. His dad's the head coach there for Baker at basketball. So, there's a lot of pressure on him in that game. And I thought he came out and played pretty well.
Now, you talk about they did things different defensively than you had seen previously. So we like to talk about your offense and your defense. Let's talk about your coaches, because you guys had to make some adjustments. When you find that they're doing things that you didn't really anticipate, you guys were able to make some changes and make it work.
Yeah, we did. And, the other thing, too, I'll talk about this. We had Coach Land, him and his wife had their baby. And so we did not have Coach Land at the game, our run game coordinator and tight ends and running back coach. So congratulations to Coach Land and Shay. They had a little baby girl. Her name is Grace. She went into labor 7 a.m. on Saturday morning and ended up having her the next morning at 5:30-ish. And so, we did have to make some adjustments on offense with how we did some things. I thought our kids handled it really well. I thought Coach Leonard really stepped up and got us in some right calls, especially at the end of the game, running the ball to get the clock down so we could force Baker to have to go the length of the field. But if you look at what we did on defense, okay, we took the conference offensive player of the year from a year ago and held him to 6-for-15 passing for less than 100 yards, and he threw 2 interceptions. And I thought we did a tremendous job of giving him different looks, and we were physical with Truman Jules guard. And then, you know, he ended up having an ankle injury, and they had to go to their backup. But I thought our game plan was really good. We kept them out of rhythm on their offense. And I was really proud of what our defense was able to do versus a really high potent offense.
Yep. And again, you talk about the crowd. It was just a great experience and a great springboard into back on the road we go. With only a couple home games left, you're going to find yourself on the road a lot here now, and yep, a trip over to Canton. What's it feel like now that you've been in the program for a minute? This is a place you're not seeing for the first time.
Yeah. So the thing with Culver, when you go over there, you got to be ready to go because this is a big game. They always circle our name on the calendar, and they've had a tough schedule to start. They've already played 3 of the top 4 teams in our conference with MNU, Baker, and Grandview. And now this is the third week in a row they get a ranked team. So their kids, they know what it's like to play against high-level competition. And so, you know, they had week 2 or week 3, they had a tough loss at Missouri Baptist where it was an overtime game. So when you watch the film, the first thing that stands out is their wide receiver. He's big, he's fast, he's athletic. He's got over 500 yards receiving and 4 touchdowns. So he's the best receiver that we have probably played since MNU's receiver 2 years ago. So we have to be ready to go for him. He's a Division I transfer. And then on defense, they've got some length. They got some young guys playing. They're starting to get a little bit better, and so we've got to be ready to go. I thought they did a pretty good job versus Grandview and kind of muddied some things up for Grandview's offense. So and you're playing a road game, so you got to come out focused and handle the trip. And, so I'm excited for our guys.
What's the danger of, and I'm trying to decide the best way to phrase this, people looked at the schedule and said, man, those first handful of games are going to be absolutely brutal. You played some really, really good nationally ranked teams. And now people are like, oh, well, the pressure's off a little bit. You know, the hardest teams, maybe with an exception one late, are behind you. And now it's cruise time. But these guys have got to understand it's really not cruise time, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I think our front of our schedule definitely was challenging. Each week had its own challenge. You play 3 teams ranked in the top 16. And, the trap would be you come off of a big emotional win against Baker at home on family weekend. Everybody feels good. And then you come out the next week and you take your foot off the gas and you don't play to your standards. So we have really good leadership on our team with our coaching staff and our upperclassmen. And the standard is the standard. So we have to perform to our standard each and every day, no matter if it's practice or a game. And so that's going to be our challenge this week. And so we've been hammering that home to the guys. And I think Saturday we'll be able to see if, you know, that message is coming through.
Did you see it coming through during the week of practice? How was the week?
Yeah, it was a good week. It really was. So I thought our scouts were really locked in because Culver's defense is a little different than what you see most weeks in and out. So I thought our scouts did a great job. We have good leadership on our defensive scout team. Our offensive line's doing better on the scout team. They're giving better looks, so I thought – overall, I thought it was a good week of practice.
People look at football teams. Let's take yours for the example that we've got right in front of us here. And they see the varsity, and they see the starters, and they see the final score of Saturday's game. But they don't necessarily fully appreciate, the depth and breadth of the team. You had a JV game last week. Okay, we need to talk about. And then you talk about the scout teams because you got 100-some guys running around out there every day on practice, all of them contributing in some way. It's not just those starting 11 on the offense and defense.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Everybody's got a role to play, and they got to play their role to a high level. The first thing we talk about is you got to play with effort. So no matter if you know what you're doing or not, you better be flying around. And then the second thing is, we need to know you know what you're doing. So we got to be able to trust you. And so, and then from there, we can coach. If we don't have those first two things, it's hard to coach. And so I thought our guys did a good job this week. Sunday after our Baker game, I was really proud of our kids. We had a JV game at home versus Kansas Wesleyan, and we came out ready to go. We ended up winning 32-8 against a tough team. They were well coached, very athletic and physical. So I thought our kids were locked in. And, you know, you play those games, the JV games, and guys typically emerge. And it's been like that ever since I've been here. And so we've had some of those guys emerge. And because of that, you know, some guys are going to get a travel in the varsity. Some guys may need to step up. Like Isaiah Hasten's first game this year was not varsity. His first game was JV, you know, so because of that experience he got and getting his feet wet and, you know, running our defense instead of just running scout team, you know, he was able to get out there and then really step up. And, you know, week five, he's ready to go now.
If I make the travel roster for you, do I need to be ready every minute? Am I maybe like ready to go in? Am I viable for playing today?
Yeah, you are. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, we've got a couple guys that are going to, you know, that haven't traveled that are going to be there and they got to be ready to go. So yeah, for sure.
Coach, one thing I want to see if it's going to be a big day for the Ravens today, if I'm sitting up here in a booth, they got really nice accommodations here and do a nice job of taking care of us, very, very great hosts. What am I looking for? What do I want to see?
Well, I think the big thing is going to be offensively if we can sustain drives. You know, I have a lot of confidence that we're going to hit explosive plays. We've hit our explosive play goal every game this year, which is going to be 20 more yards on a pass or 15 or more yards on a run. But can we sustain drives? And then when we get in the red zone, can we finish? Last week, we were really poor in the red zone. We were only 1-for-4 on touchdowns. Okay, that's not going to get it done moving forward. So we've got to improve there. And then can we finish a drive at the end of the half with a score? You know, the last 2 weeks, we've had a turnover at the end of the half. That's given the other team momentum going into the half. So, and then defensively, can we continue to trend in the right direction? If you look at the last 2 weeks, we've given up 14 points and then 24. Baker, they scored 24, and they've been averaging 52. So can we continue to trend in the right direction defensively? I think the big thing for us is going to be, can we create some turnovers? 2 weeks ago when Culver played at Baker, the quarterback turned the ball over a lot, and that was a big key to Baker's success. So can we take advantage of that as well? But overall, though, I'm excited for the game. And, you know, we get to play at a place that's got some tradition. It's a, you know, old program, which I always think that's cool to play at a place that's been around for a while. So, and then you're a little further away from home, so you guys are really focused, and we get to go stay in a hotel and then, you know, do our deal. So it should be a good trip.
Coach, we're excited for it. Can't wait. Best of luck here this afternoon.
All right. I appreciate it, Tom.
You've been listening to the Bank of Atchison Coaches Show on your home for Benedict and Raven football, Care Radio 93.7. The Amberwell pregame continues with the Dairy Queen Grill and Chill Keys to the Game right after this. Stop by Atchison Dairy Queen Grill and Chill for lunch or dinner. Try their signature stack burgers or chicken strip basket, original or honey barbecue sauced and tossed. Top it off with a classic DQ treat like a hot fudge sundae, dipped cone, or one of the many Blizzard flavors. All right now at Dairy Queen Grill and Chill in Atchison. Happy, tastes good.
As we get set for kickoff, it's now time for your Dairy Queen Grill and Chill keys to the game. Turnovers is a big deal for the Raven defense. 2 weeks ago against Baker, Culver Stockton threw 4 interceptions, 3 of them were taken back for touchdowns. I think the Raven defense can do more of the same this afternoon against this Culver Stockton team. Be opportunistic and make Culver Stockton pay for those mistakes. On the offensive end, just get something going in the ball game. Last week, they did such a great job in the first quarter, but then as the game progressed, they kind of fell off until the fourth quarter. Don't have that mid-game lull, especially going into the bye week next week. So again, turnovers, keep the offense turning today. Could be a big day for the Ravens. Kickoff coming up here next as those were your Dairy Queen Grill and Chill keys to the game.
Thanks for listening to the Dairy Queen Grill and Chill keys to the game, part of our Amberwell pregame show. We'll go live to Tom and Gus Counts at the stadium for play-by-play coverage and in-game analysis of Benedictine football right after these messages. At Amberwell, they prioritize your health, your time, and your care. Life's unexpected twists can't be put on hold. That's why they have a team of compassionate primary care providers ready to serve you with same-day or next-day appointments. Whether it's a sudden illness, a minor injury, or a regular checkup, Amberwell is there for you. with convenient locations in Atchison, Hiawatha, Highland, Horton, Lansing, and Troy, they're dedicated to keeping you healthy and happy. Don't delay your well-being any longer. Call 913-358-0828 or visit their website at amberwellhealth.org to schedule your same-day or next-day primary care appointment. Amberwell is committed to your health, your time, and your care.
Your only source for local daily news, along with weather, sports, and the best mix of hit country. This is KAIR-FM, Horton Atchison.
It's time for Benedict and Raven football. Four quarters of hard-hitting, action-packed, high-flying intensity. Our coverage of Raven football is brought to you by our proud Raven sports boosters.
And with that, we bid you a good afternoon here from Elson Poulton Stadium in Canton, Missouri, where this afternoon, on the road, the Benedictine Ravens are being hosted by Culver Stockton College. Hello again, everybody, with Joseph. He's producing and engineering in the Care Radio Sports Studio. Gus Counts with me to my left here in the booth. Welcome to sunny Northeast Missouri as we are perched here high on the banks of the Mississippi River. And Gus, a matchup between a couple of teams. We talk about longstanding rivalries. I don't know if this pairing has ever really reached the call it rivalry status, but it is a long, long running series between these two teams.
Yeah, you talk about a series that dates back to, 1973, and I feel like they've played a game every year since that 1973 season. Benedictine has been pretty successful, I guess is the best way to put it, over the years. Since you go back to even look at last season's game against these two, Benedictine won in Atchison 60-7 in that ball game. Culver Stockton was limited to 112 yards of total offense. They turned the ball over three times. It was just a rough day. And defensively, they gave up over 500 yards to the Benedictine offense.
And Benedictine has been able to do some things offensively nicely this season, and including, again, having a player of the week last week. So for Benedictine, it's been a good season. And Culver Stockton being brought in off the sideline and introduced to the crowd on hand here today. Benedictine, this is kind of weird to look across the way at the Ravens on the far sideline. That's not weird. They're across the way in red jerseys. That's just kind of surprising, the red jersey, black helmet, black pants for Benedictine here this afternoon.
Yeah, and for Culver Stockton, they are going to wear black jerseys with blue helmets, blue pants, white face mask, and blue and white numerals in trim.
One other game going on at noon around the conference right now. You're going to have Clark is going to be up in Des Moines at Grandview. 1 o'clock games. You'll find Missouri Baptist at Central Methodist, Baker at home with Missouri Valley, and Mid-America at William Woods, Cruz State's at Graceland at 2, St. Ambrose is at Penn at 3, so they kind of span the afternoon here today.
We had the flip of the coin out at midfield by the two teams, and it was won by Benedictine, and they elect to defer their decision to the second half. So for Culver Stockton, they're going to put their kick return unit out on the field first.
And the Ravens will get set to put a toe to the football. Benedictine's Cullen Bruner out of Marceline, Missouri, going to be putting it away, and you're going to have a couple of return guys on the left hash mark. Back at the goal line is Robert Jones, and up closer to the 10-yard line is going to be Gavin Gardner, and he'll be on the right hash mark. Ravens are going to be set to go, and hope you enjoy it. BC football on a beautiful October Saturday afternoon here on Care Radio. Happy to have you. The boot is away, end over end. It will land about 7 yards deep and quickly bounce out the back of the end zone. And for the Ravens, the touchback will give the ball to Culver Stockton, 1st and 10, and they'll bring their offense out to begin it.
You talked about how deep that kick was. Well, because that wind aided kick, right? The wind is out of the south this afternoon at 13 miles per hour. It is 81 out there. Feels like 82. zero precipitation chances. There is 51% humidity. They had some decent storms yesterday morning, and you're looking at a barometric pressure of 30.02 inches of mercury.
Yeah, that high barometric pressure, crystal clear skies, and here comes the Culver's Ogden offense. Quarterback Drake Day will hand off to his running back. He'll run to the right side. The Ravens pursue, will tackle him right at the line of scrimmage. Absolutely no gain. There's no space for Demarion Cobb to run, and Abram Phillips is over there. The Benedict, the defense, swarming on that first play from scrimmage. Back to the second down, 10 still at their own 25-yard line for Culver Stockton under eighth season head coach Tom Sally and his first season offensive coordinator R.J. Melton. We'll see what R.J.'s got cooked up here. Second down call. QB's going to hand off into the middle of the line again, and this time just sheer effort and determination is going to pick up a couple of yards, but there's just not much in there.
That time, Abram Phillips along with Zachary Lacombe make the stop on the play for Benedictine. And as quickly as that, Culver Stockton looking at a third and seven.
Demarion Cobb has carried those first two times for Culver Stockton. And last week, he had seven carries on the afternoon for 14 yards. It is a third down, seven call from their own 28-yard line for CSC. Trips to the right side for Drake Day, the Story City, Iowa senior quarterback. Again, he's going to bring Cobb up to his left hand. QB is back to throw. Steps back, looking, plenty of time. Now steps up. One arm grabbed Isaac, throws him to the ground, and he will be sacked for the loss.
Great job right there by Isaac Anderson, able to collapse the pocket. Tim Glazer comes in and helps finish him off. And now it'll bring up a fourth down, and for the Ravens, they're going to send Jay Sean back to return this kick.
For Culver Stockton, not the script they had planned. Took the opening kickoff, quickly go three and out, picking up 1 yard in the process. And Jay Sean standing at his own 45-yard line. Benedictine looking to get this ball in some pretty good field position. Back to punt is Joe Kennedy. Adian Benda is the long snapper. Snap back, it's a good one. The boot away, very nearly blocked, but he's able to get it away, and it'll sail away from Jay Sean and roll dead inside the 45 at the 43-yard line. So for Benedictine, even though there was no return on the punt, outstanding field position to begin their first hold of the ball on the afternoon.
You talk about going out on my limbs. So I'm going to go out on one right here.
Okay.
Benedictine's going to block a punt this afternoon.
You think?
Because they were right there in the grill of the punter, and that time Joe Kennedy just barely got that thing away.
Here comes the Raven offense, and Jackson Dooley, your 6'1", 200-pound junior quarterback of Lawrence, Kansas. Back to throw, goes left side. It's going to be caught by Jake Gathright, and he'll take it across the 50, and the Ravens on a first play. Gata doesn't move the stick.
Yeah, that was just a quick little out route to Jacob Gathright working on the far side. He caught it, picked up a couple yards, and steps out in Culver Stockton territory at the 45.
Witherspoon is your only running back. He's going to take that handoff, go right side, has a little room, hunkers over the football, gets inside the 40, and he's going to be about a yard short of the first down, maybe a half a yard short of the first down, just shy of the 35-yard line, tackled by Tyheim Merrill. So Benedictine mixing it up early, pass to the left side, first play, run to the right side, second play, and they're second and one at the 36. Well into Culver Stockton territory. Motion left. That's TZ. QB's back. Looking over to mailman. Wide open. 15-10. Down inside the 5-yard line goes Joseph Lagafuiana. First and goal, Ravens.
That time Lagafuiana just running down the middle of the field on almost a skinny post. Robert Jones, the cornerback, didn't pick him up right away. And great job by Jackson Dooley. Realizing that his man was open, quick pass, able to hit him. Now the Ravens going to bring in the tight end, Tyler Watson.
See, I saw on the outside TZ running down, and it looked like he was open. I did not see the inside guy that Jackson saw when he hit Joseph for that pass inside of five. First and goal, Benedictine. We're going to call this a 4-yard line. Again, QB, hands off, running back, and the pride of Windsor, Missouri takes it into the end zone. Dalton Witherspoon from 4 yards out. And Benedictine at 11:22 to play in the opening quarter. And Gus, something it seems like they're doing every week. the Ravens scoring on their first possession.
Yeah, the Ravens' first possession in the ball games have been great this year, right? I mean, we'd have to go back and look. I'm not so sure they haven't come away with points on every opening drive this season, and most of those being touchdowns.
The snap will be held by Jackson Dooley, coming off the hands of Zach Filippi. The boot is on its way, and the PAT for Harry Balke, it's up and good. And Benedictine takes the timeout at 11:22 to go in the opening quarter. In Canton, Missouri, Ravens 7, Wildcats scoreless.
Kick off the new season with a visit to an old friend, Mueller's Locker Room. Since 1988, Mueller's has been Atchison's original sports bar and grill, serving up great food, cold beer, and all your favorite spirits. Whether you're hanging out in the dugout or relaxing on the deck, Mueller's is the place to be. Locally owned and operated, it's been the hot spot for good times for over 30 years. Mueller's Locker Room, 120 South 2nd in Atchison, your sports bar for all seasons.
Benedict going to have you broken out on top. They're going to bring their kickoff unit back out on the field. Welcome back, everybody. 7-0, Ravens in front. 11:22 to go in the opening quarter. Kevin Gardner, Robert Jones, the return duo, and the kicker boots it away. It is end over end, and that one will go about 8-9 yards deep, just almost out the back of the end zone, and it hops away. I guess you talked about it with the opening kickoff. There is a win from the south. It's a north and south field, and Benedictine will have the win, and it's back in the opening quarter. But I got to tell you, the way this thing is recessed, I know the wind is going to kind of channel down that valley that leads down in here. I'm never sure how much how much of the wind actually gets way down here. We're at the bottom of the hill.
How about that first drive for the Raven offense? How about this? 4 plays, 57 yards. It took them a minute 28.
Colbert. First handoff, it's going to go to the right side. Hit again. No, there's just nothing. There's nowhere for Jamarion Cobb to go. Jamarion working hard, trying to pick up a little yardage, but he's been able to go nowhere that time. Jared Heron over there for BC. Jamarion Cobb, 3 carries, Gus, 3 yards so far today. It's going to pick up a second down, 9. Quarterback is going to shift him back over to the left side, trips right, he's back to throw, looking right, steps up all day. Now pass short is going to be off the hands of Jamarion, who held in and blocked for a while and then fell out into the pattern, but the pass is not caught, and that was not a bad throw. Jamarion just didn't get a handle on it. It's going to break up down with 3rd down long for Culver Stockton. CSC coming into the ball game, desperately looking for a W today. They're going to bring into the game a new wide receiver. They're going to bring Robert Jones in. Long count, 3rd down. Quarterback takes it. Everybody kind of paused for a minute, and now the pass incomplete at the 35-yard line. Looking over the right side for Elian Sundquist. He's a big guy, 6'4", 230, out of Seattle, Washington last week. 4 catches, only 18 yards of it. Gus, the pass was thrown before Sundquist had ever turned around, and I think it was so close to him when he did look, it startled him, and he could not make the catch.
Yeah, that time in coverage for the Ravens, you're going to have Abram Phillips, and now the second punt of the afternoon coming for Culver Stockton.
We are 4 minutes and 18 seconds into the game, and Culver punting for the second time, and the Ravens have already scored a touchdown. Snap back in a boot. That one nearly blocked also. You're right. They're going to get one of these. It's going to land short of the 50 and bounce out of bounds to the Raven 49. So for the second time, Benedictine is going to begin a series here in the opening quarter beyond its own 45-yard line, 1st and 10.
26 seconds. 26-second possession for Culver Stockton right there. And the Ravens are going to have this ball back near midfield. You want to talk about a recipe for a large number on an afternoon? Have possessions that last 26 seconds and give the opponent the ball back at midfield.
Well, that's where the Ravens have it, at their own 49-yard line. Everybody out of the backfield, only Jackson Dooley. He'll flare it over to the near side. It's going to be taken by Chase Shard. And that was a fantastic one-man tackle by Robert Jones for Culver Stockton. Robert did a splendid job fighting off his tackle, and he was the only guy anywhere close and ultimately made that stop for a loss of two, second and a dozen. Benedict is going to go back to the running back, Dalton Witherspoon, behind Jackson Dooley. Second down call. Motion will come to the near side. Tight end will set up on the right side. Short side handoff. Witherspoon, he slows down, looks into the middle, gets to the 50. Dalton wraps up the ball down to the 45-yard line. He'll pick up about seven, maybe eight, making a third down two.
That time coming up to make the stop, you had Max Hayes, a senior from just down the road in Monroe City. Weren't they the Panthers?
Yeah, Monroe City Panthers. That's good.
So,
3 yards to go. Third down, three, Benedictson.
Ravens going to take out LeBron Jackson, and they're going to bring in for this play Tanner Zimmerman, the big tight end, and they're going to kind of line him up in the backfield off to the left.
Wide receiver to the near side is going to be Gathright. Motion will come to the near side. The handoff is going to go to the running back. He'll bounce right, get a 45-40. Look out. There he goes at the 30-20. And wisely just sidestepping out of bounds, Dalton Witherspoon. A big gain. Avoid the hit. Come back and play again. It's first and 10 Ravens.
Yeah, that time Witherspoon had gotten into some wide open grass and then realized that he probably wasn't going to be able to score. They had four defenders closing in on him. Step out of bounds and... here you go. You've got a first and 10 inside the 20. They're going to mark this thing down at the 18-yard line. 9 minutes left here in the first quarter with the Ravens up seven.
LeBron Jackson is going to be a slot to the left side. Wide to the left is Jay Sean Todd. Over to the right side, Benedictson. He's got Cameron Dover over here. Hand off again, Witherspoon. He's to the 15. Cuts it the middle to the 10. Drags defenders to the 9-yard line. And here's what I see Dalton doing. When we talk about often how sometimes running backs will just outrun the blocking, Dalton's not. He's slowing down. He's letting those guys in front of him. He's got all the faith in the world in him, letting them make some room, and then hits the hole. Great patience by Dalton Witherspoon, the junior out of Windsor, Missouri. Second down and about two. Benedict just inside the 10. Again, Witherspoon, no. Quarterback's going to keep it himself, gets sacked. That, I have to guess, is some kind of a fake to Witherspoon, and Jackson pulls it back, and before he can either run with it or do whatever he was going to do, he was swarmed.
Yeah, that was just a botched play, right? Because you had linemen downfield, so it's not like Jackson was going to roll out and throw the ball. I just think that it was kind of a botched handoff, and when it all was said and done, Jackson gets thrown for a little bit of a loss on the play. It's now going to bring up a third and six for the Ravens.
7:40 and running along to play here in the opening quarter in Canton, Missouri. Benedictson leads it 7-0 and moving to football. Motion will go to the left side. That's going to be Joseph. He'll stop over on the left wing. QB's back, looks right, throws right, has his man caught at the 5-man touchdown, Ravens. In the end zone down the right side, Jacob Gathright. And Benedictson will extend its lead. It's now 13-0 BC.
That time you looked over here, near side cornerback Robert Jones tried to jump that pass, and when he missed, Jacob Gathright had the football and was able to just turn around and walk himself into the end zone. So a touchdown puts Benedictine up already two scores with Balky in for the PAT.
Harry Little right foot soccer's down again. Jackson with the hold. It's down. It's up. It's good. We're taking a break. Ravens continue to extend their lead at 7:27 to go in the opening quarter. It's Benedict and 14, Culver Stockton, nothing.
Ta-da! For our next trick, Taco John's will turn your dollar into deliciousness with our BOGO for a Buck menu. Buy an item from our BOGO menu and presto taco! Look, a tasty taco bravo for just a buck. Alaca burrito! There, now it's a classic meat and potato burrito for a buck. That's one talented dollar. Try this BOGO for a Buck menu trick for yourself at your nearest Taco John. Download our app, earn free food.
Well, Culver Stockton here, and we are just about exactly midway through the opening quarter because they got to find a tourniquet. They got to stop this thing.
Yeah, and I think really the way you're going to have to try to stop this thing or at least slow it down a little bit is to run the ball, right? Possess the ball, run a little clock time. If you're going to throw it, throw short passes because, again, you're giving Benedictson the ball back. You're giving up short possessions, and every Raven possession is starting somewhere around midfield because if you look at your punter, only averages about 31 yards a punt this season. So,
for the third time, the Benedictine kickoff here in the opening quarter has sailed out the back of the end zone at Culver Stockton for the third time. It's going to begin a possession at its own 25-yard line. Guess what's not happened for the third time, or even the first time? Culver Stockton getting a first down. And, yeah, you talk about the baby steps and the things you need to do. Don't set the sights too high. You don't even have to set your sights on a touchdown. How about a first down? Wildcats will go twins to the right. Quarterback Drake Day is back to throw, looking left, throwing left. And if somebody didn't get a handle on that, is that going to be called a fumble? And if so, the Ravens defense picks it up. Do they go into the end zone? Is that a touchdown? I'm confused as to whether was it blocked or the quarterback just lose it.
They had never blown their whistle and killed that play. And so great job by the Ravens. And you look out there, who was it that picked up that ball? Trey Williams. Nine?
Yep.
Trey Williams.
100%.
He looks around. He picks up the football. Let's see if we're going to get a call here.
Williams here from Fumble.
There you go. So Benedictine, what, in the course of about 18 seconds, scores another touchdown.
And Tom Talley is out there in the ear of anybody that will listen to him right now.
Yeah, it's just a review thing. We talk about, you know, nowadays they're reviewing plays. They've got all this technology. Is that what's going to happen here? Will it happen? Can it happen?
Is that maybe the review tent down on the end zone?
I don't know. You couldn't begin to say. All I know is that the officials over here talking to the coach and the players are out on the field. They look like they're ready to just go with the PAT effort.
There we go. They're going to challenge it. So they said the previous play is under review.
Okay, and I guess we're going to find out when we watch where the official goes. And there is a tent on the north end of the field beyond the end zone. And the referee and the head linesman are going to walk up there, and they're going to review this. So we'll see what's happening there. Again, Wildcats this season have played just a rough schedule. I mean, it's been a tough one with Mount Marty and Mid-America and Baker and Grandview and Missouri Baptist already this season. If the Missouri Baptist game going into overtime for CSC.
And that was a game that they were ahead late in the fourth quarter by a couple scores, and then all of a sudden, punt return for a touchdown, a pick six, all of a sudden that was a completely different game. So now, Benedictine, look out on the field, and Coach Osborne has the ear of one of the officials.
Well, I think it's only fair that if Coach Sally is asking some questions, Coach Osborne is probably going to ask some questions, you know, and rebuttal.
Give me a little clarification on some of these things.
Now, what I need cleared up is, is there a time limit for how long the reviews take? Because, you know, as much as you and I, the officials and the coaches and everybody involved want to get it right, okay, how long do you take at trying to decide for sure, and how certain do you have to be, you know, whether it's right or not, and when you finally just move on with the game, because right now a lot of time's getting spent.
Yeah, and I feel like that's going to be a really difficult play to probably overturn. And the officials are finally coming out, and they're going to talk about it. Just because you aren't going to have enough camera angles, I don't think, to tell.
There you go.
Yeah, and it really, and Coach Sally sitting there with his arms outstretched, it's going to basically come down to, you have one, possibly two angles of it, but you're not going to be able to, like the NFL, where we stop, slow it down, zoom in on the football and see, is it moving before the arm comes forward?
Yeah,
so
get that overhead 360 rotational 3D view. So here comes the Benedictine VAT. It's been a pretty good offensive start to the ball game for the Ravens. Is Jackson Dooley going to be set to take this snap? Nicely placed in. Count the point and Benedictine. Gus, we are 7 minutes and 51 seconds into the game. Ravens 21, Wildcats nothing.
Atchison Auto Parts is your locally owned and operated independent NAPA dealer. With a team of experienced employees that have a lifelong passion for the auto industry, they provide top quality parts and exceptional service. They are all car guys who care about getting you the right parts. And with locations in Leavenworth and Smithville, they can get that part same day if not on their shelves. Open 8 to 6 Monday through Saturday and 9 to 3 on Sunday. Atchison Auto Parts, 424 Woodlawn Avenue in Atchison.
You're scoring a lot of different ways already in a ball game, and now the defense is getting into the fun. Ravens up 21-0, less than 8 minutes in. Welcome back to Canton, everybody. The BC kickoff is away, end over end and high, and again on one hop, it goes out the back of the end. As a matter of fact, it hits the upright on the goalpost down there. And here comes the Cobra Stockton offense, who has not gotten the ball yet to their own 35-yard line.
They've given up 6 points already. They haven't picked up a first down. I mean, it's just, if there was a worse way to start a game, I'm not really sure how, but if this possession doesn't end in a first down and you have to punt the ball, I think we're going to see it, because I think this is a possession that BC blocked the punt.
Kyle Dixon is going to be the wide receiver to the left side. Quarterback's going to hand off, a little QB draw, and there's a breakaway run, 35-40. Look at him go at the 45 and tackle from behind, carrying the football to Marion Cobb. You'd think he had just won the Heisman. He's really bumped up, and Jackson Hoskins catches him from behind.
You talked about it. You got to set those minor goals right now, and the first one was get a first down, and right there they did just that off the wheels of Demarion Cobb, as he'll take it out almost near midfield to the 47.
First and 10, Cobra Stockton. Now they'll stop, take a look to their left, which is over to the near sideline. Quarterback Drake Day will bring him back up. Running back is DeMarion. Motion will come to the near side. Hand off on the jet sweep, coming to short side of the field, getting to the 50-yard line, Raven territory at the 46. Stood up there, bear hugged and pushed back by Joe Gaines. We haven't seen a lot as the red shirt freshman this year, but that was a heck of a nice play.
Yeah, nice job right there by Joe. And now the Ravens are going to freshen up their defensive line. You look out there, you're going to see, good to see out there, Cole Johnson back in. He'll be out there with Isaac Anderson and Heath Baker.
Here we go. Culver at the Ravens, 45-yard line.
Ravens are expecting a pass right here with Cole Johnson in there.
BC going basically 53 on the defense. They'll hand off to the running back, who puts his head down, powers ahead, running behind Chase Waterman, the lead lineman who pushed the way in the front, blocking for that play. Going to be a short gain, though, for DeMarion. Heath Baker with the tackle. Let's talk about this line for Culver Stockton. Gus, Culver's 0-5, and they probably got the biggest offensive line of any team in the conference we've seen so far. Here's a handoff in the backfield, a tackle in the backfield. Losing 3 yards. Again, it's going to be Cobb. Zach Lacombe. What a great job that young man has been doing for Benedictine this year. Fourth down, 3. And I'm not sure, is Culver Stockton going to punt it away? I'm not seeing Joe Kennedy come into the game.
Why? You know, I mean, at this point, your punts have given Benedictine the ball around midfield anyway all day, so even a turnover on downs would give them about where your defense has been all day. So I agree with this. If you're Culver Stockton, roll the dice. Make something happen.
Fourth down, 3. Culver at the Benedictine 46-yard line. Got to get this down to the 43. QB's back. Fires one. Near side. Man wide open, and it's incomplete. Right through the hands of their intended receiver over here. And, Gus, I will tell you, the receiver, Kyota Sitoyama, 5'10" player out of St. Louis, Missouri, could not hold on. Ravens are going to get it back on downs.
So what was starting to be a nice little drive for Culver Stockton is going to end up on a turnover on downs on an incomplete pass, where a little better of a throw out there to the left flat, all of a sudden picking up the first down and keeping that drive alive.
Benedictine with receiver sideline to sideline, Dooley back. Passes right over the middle. It's Zimmerman, 50-45. Zimmerman, 40-35. Drags a defender to the 32-yard line. Tanner Zimmerman, and there are a couple of defenders slow to get up. You step in front of TZ at 6'5", 235, you pay the price. And last week, Tanner with no receptions. Going to try to make up for it here, and one of those defenders is still down.
Yeah, that time Tanner Zimmerman just came off the line, caught that quick little hitch, and then takes off up the middle. I mean, nobody's stepping in front of him. And by the time he finally encounters somebody, it was that safety about 10 yards down the field, and the Ravens have this thing all the way already down to the 33-yard line. For Culver Stockton, it's been a rough start to this year. They find themselves at this point 0-5. Some of their games have been closer than others. You talk about that one a couple weeks ago against Missouri Baptist that they lost in overtime. But last week they lost at Grandview 45-13. They lost to Baker 61-7. And a few weeks ago, Mid-America 69-7. So you could argue that Culver Stockton is going to end up in a year where you kind of shift the schedules around a little bit. Culver is going to get the four best teams in this conference.
Yeah, this is our third consecutive nationally ranked opponent 3 weeks in a row. Ravens are back, passed over to the left flat. It's going to be caught inside the 30, diving down inside the 25-yard line. Nice little catch and carry over there by Ethan Perrott. And Ethan will get the Ravens just a half a yard short of the first down marker, call up the 25-yard line. With 4 minutes to go in the opening quarter, and the Ravens already with a 3-touchdown lead are looking to pad that a little bit at the 25-yard line, second down short. Handoff is going to go Witherspoon. He tries to cut right, loses his footing, goes back left, picks up the first down. He'll be stopped at the 22.
It's going to be Robbie Sharp running the ball on that play.
And now we've got another CSC player who's a little slow back coming to his feet. And, yeah, it was 23. I was looking for 33. Been seeing Dalton out there, 33. But Robbie Sharp, St. Pius X High School in KCMO.
Getting up slow coming off the field is going to be the linebacker, Mason Vickery. Vickery, a 6'1" freshman out of Marquette Heights, Illinois. And this Culver Stockton roster, their starters, a lot of Illinois sprinkled in here. It's, we're right on the banks.
First and 10, Benedictine at the 22-yard line. Jackson takes it, looks left, goes left, has his man that's going to be caught and tackled quickly at the 15-yard line. Nice catch and a very nice defensive play. The stop made on Matthew Sanford. And the Ravens, Gus, all year have used so many receivers. We see him using 10, 12 different guys catching the ball in the course of a game. You're going to have that many today, maybe in the first quarter. Jackson Dooley, has distributed the ball so well. Second down, 3. Now, Dooley will keep it himself. Boots left, and I don't need my quarterback taking that beating. He'll go down to the 10-yard line.
Yeah, he's going to be very near a first down, and they are going to just go ahead, eye it up, and give him the first down on that play. But, yeah, that's not exactly the hit that you want to see Dooley take. Jayshon Todd is going to check out and back into the ballgame for Benedictine. You're going to see LeBron Jackson.
Ravens knocking on the door of their fourth opening quarter touchdown. It's first and 10 at the 11. Little handoff, Robbie will bounce left, 10. He's to the 5. He's still on his feet, maybe the 4-yard line, and to say forward progress is stopped there. He never, ever went to the ground, and it will bring up a second down short. And, Gus, if you're Culver Stockton, I mean, the trouble just magnifies because you got to understand that they play their best ball in the first half. They've been outscored 129-37 in the second half this season. So they've got to have a good first half, and they have not certainly had a good first quarter so far today. Ravens will have a second down call at the 6-yard line. Sharp is the running back, gets the handoff, goes right side at the 5, 3, 2, 1, touchdown, Robbie Sharp and Benedictine. And with a minute 41 to play opening quarter, TD number 4 in the first.
And for Robbie, that's going to be his first touchdown of the season. And for the Ravens, how about this? 3 possessions, and all of a sudden you're looking at 27 points pinned in the PAT here.
I'm thinking to myself, if I'm a Benedictine player, I'm a young guy, I'm a freshman or something, and I get to make a trip, and I'm sneaking a peek at that scoreboard and thinking to myself, I can get out there today. I'm feeling like I got PT in my future. The extra point is airborne and good. And we take a timeout here in Canton. After the score, we get a break with a minute 41 to go in the opening quarter, where it is now Benedictine 28, Culver Stockton nothing.
Craving something fresh? Head to Subway in Atchison. From the classic subs you love to fresh salads, wraps, and breakfast options, there's something for everyone. And don't forget to treat yourself with a foot-long churro or soft pretzel, perfect for a snack or with your meal. Subway, eat fresh. Conveniently located under the Fifth Street Viaduct in Atchison.
Good to have you back with us here in Canton. We talked about how many players have caught the ball already for Benedictine. Six. Joseph Longobuiana, Jacob Gathright, Tanner Zimmerman, Ethan Perrott, Matthew Sanford, and Jayshon Todd already with catches, and we're still in the opening quarter. Here's an onside kick, and the Ravens recover it at the 50-yard line. So Benedictine goes onside, and with a minute 40 to go in the opening quarter, I will say Tom Sally is surprised. Gus, I will absolutely tell you I am surprised.
I think head coach Joel Osborne surprised.
Yeah,
I don't know that I'm not even sure that's really what they meant to do right there.
I mean, unless that ball was falling off the tee,
well,
or the kicker slipped and nearly fell down.
On a windy day with that wind coming behind him, that thing could have started off the tee when he got to kick it.
I will hope that that's what happened. Okay?
Yeah, because I'm going to tell you, Joel starts looking around and he's like trying to grab up his play sheet, and I don't think they were ready for that at all.
Here we go. Benedictine back with the football. A minute 40 to go in quarter number one, leading 28-0. QB's back to throw. Looking, he's got LeBron, but no, he's going deep down to the 10-yard line, and it's caught inside the 5. What a catch, Jacob Gathright, because that's a 60-yard pass.
That time, he just turned to the left, let it fly, and Jacob had to come back to make that reception, but did a great job fighting the sun, fighting through the defender, making the reception, and now the Ravens are looking at first and goal at the 4. Your running back is Witherspoon. They're going to bring in Tanner Zimmerman, Court Madsen, and Tyler Watson.
Ravens are going to score their 5th opening quarter touchdown right here. Dooley, hard count. That switches it up. Takes a snap. Back to throw. A fade pass. Touchdown. Over the left side, Benedictine with the fade pass into the left corner of the end zone to Cullen. Is that? No. That was, who would caught that?
Tanner.
Is that Tanner? Okay. Tanner Zimmerman making the catch, and 50 seconds to go, opening quarter. It is now 34-0. And BC would look to add one here. What a beautiful afternoon outside, man. It is just gorgeous. Crowd on hand. Kicking back a little bit. Speaking of kicks, that kick is good. Point after a success. Joseph, taking a break. We're going to wear you out, and there's nothing we can do about it with 50 seconds to go in the opening quarter. Ravens 35, Culver Stockton scoreless.
Fall is tailgating season, and before you head out to cheer on your team, stop by Huntley Liquor. Whether you're grilling, chilling, or celebrating that big win, we've got the drinks to keep your tailgate going strong. Choose from a wide selection of domestic and imported beers, fine wines, and premium spirits to make your tailgate a hit. Hunley Liquor, 119 South 9th Street in Atchison. Hometown friendly, hometown helpful. That's Hunley Liquor.
Hey, welcome back. I'm going to offer to go down and put my finger on top of the football and make sure it doesn't fall off of the tee here. With 50 seconds to go in the opening quarter, Cullen Bruner will advance and boot this one, spiraling and out the back again. So here comes the Culver Stockton offense. Yes, I'm going to be candid here. Having seen a few games, and our car coming over had seen a few games. I'm not sure anybody's seen 35 and, you know, well less than the first quarter.
No.
Not by one team. I think you could see 35 scored by two teams, you know, 21-14 open
right.
quarter and some, in a wacky quarter. 35 by one team in an open quarter is a remarkable kind of number. Culver Stockton first and 10 from his own 25-yard line. Quarterback will bring a man in motion to the middle of the field. We'll keep it, drop it, and jump on the football. Almost a turnover. And I will tell you, it was an alert play by a new quarterback in the game for Culver Stockton. And they have gone to the bench to bring in, is that Edmonds out there? Help me out with the number on that QB. Is that 15?
16.
Okay.
Still doesn't appear.
So we'll have to get a little, we'll get a little clarification on who's even out there running the ball club. He'll throw a pass and it will be caught at the knees at the 25-yard line and ultimately be a gain up to the 27. It'll bring up a third down and 8.
Okay.
For Culver Stockton.
Here we go. 16 is going to be Mark Anthony Anderson, a 6'1 freshman out of Dallas.
Okay. And before he can get another snap, we're getting a timeout as the first quarter has come to an end. Took a bit. A lot of scoring happened. We'll be back. After one, it is Benedictine. 35, Culver Stockton, nothing.
Like everything around us, the vape world is changing quickly. One day, it's do-it-yourself kits. The next, it's the easy simplicity of disposable vapes to fit the needs and tastes of all adult vapers. Skyway Vapes is also giving off the 420 signal. Enter a world of legal alternative vapes for a spell of relaxation from the stress of life. How about Wildberry, America's best incense? They have that too. Questions? They've got answers. Products? They've got plenty. Skyway Vapes. 7-Eleven Commercial Street in downtown Atchison.
We got the pride of the Wildcats marching band down in front of us, entertaining the crowd here as the two teams switch ends of the field. Benedictine, who had the win at their back in the opening quarter, will now be going from right to left and into this relatively strong breeze here in Kent, Missouri in the second quarter. And Culver Stockton is going to have the ball gust directly in front of us. First time we've had a play in front of us today because the entire game has been played on Culver's half of the field.
Mark Anthony Anderson has zero statistics this season and seen his first action out of Preparatory Academy High School.
There you go. Prep Academy in Dallas, Texas. Third down. QB's back. Anthony's rolls, hit, gets sacked for the first time in his career right here. He's going to be back inside the 20-yard line where the Ravens just swarm him. Three guys ultimately in on the play for Benedictine. It's going to bring up a fourth down and an apparent punting call. And Gus, I'm not sure. Have we seen Joe Kennedy out there yet to punt?
Sparingly.
He is a 6-foot freshman from Cincinnati. And here he goes. 21 punts this season for Joe. They've allowed one punt return for a touchdown, and I'm already regretting saying that. He averages only 31 yards a kick. Jay Sean will settle in at his own 40-yard line. He's expecting the wind to aid this kick and push it a little way downfield. The snap is bobbled, and the punt is away. Oh, thank you, miss. And Jay Sean is going to take it over the shoulder, goes back inside his own 30-yard line to the 40. Foot race, 45. Cuts to the middle, 50. Drags the defender inside the 45-yard line down to the 43. Jay Sean with a nice, nice kick return. And again, Gus, Benedictine will begin a possession in Culver Stockton's half of the field. In fact, I would suspect, and I'm sure that John could tell us exactly, the Ravens have had, what, three snaps of the ball on their half of the 50?
Maybe.
Right?
I mean Benedictine has just started this whole thing out near midfield the entire time. And that's another thing. It's tough on your defense to keep defending short fields.
QB's back to throw with time. Flares one left side, caught 40, 35, and again, a little sidestep out of bounds. That's become a trademark of Dalton Witherspoon. That's the second time he worked the sideline, coming up the hash marks, and then before the defender can arrive, kind of doing a little Mahomes thing, where before you take the hit, you sidestep out of play.
That time, Sean Usery out of Festus, Missouri, the freshman, coming up with the stop.
First down, here's a pitch, and this time Witherspoon will stretch the field to the right side, gets a little help from his receivers out there to push him forward down to the 25-yard line, and a gain of 8.
Over there, Joe Cook, a freshman, out of Winfield, Alabama. Now, you talk about this Culver-Stockton team, both on offense and defense, lots of underclassmen, lots of freshmen and sophomores matter throughout this too deep.
Opening quarter stats are in, and they are everything that you would expect them to be. Second down, they're going to make it second down 3. Hand off again to Witherspoon. Look at that big man blocking in front of him, and Witherspoon getting out there, following the offensive line down the right side, and it's another Raven first down.
Great job by Benedictson getting out there, pulling from the left side, leading the way, and it's going to be an offensive lineman not on our 2-deep, but we'll figure it out.
So Benedictine with over 200 yards of offense in the opening quarter, 143 passing yards, 72 rushing yards in the first quarter. Quarterback is back to throw, fires one over the middle, and he's looking for Witherspoon at the 10. He goes up, and the defender is able to do a nice job of getting a hand of the ball, and Witherspoon coming to his feet a little slowly and going to kind of gingerly walk off the field. Ravens were 9 of 9 passing the ball in the opening quarter, guys, for 143 passing yards.
So is that our first incomplete pass?
That is the first incomplete pass of the day for Benedictine. Culver-Stockton in the opening quarter was 1 of 4 passing the ball, and Culver rushed for 6 yards in the first. Pass left side, Jayshon, 20, Todd of the 15, Jayshon of the 10, spins down to the 9. It's first and goal, Ravens. Jayshon Todd took it to the left side. Look how he walks. Look how he carries himself out on the field. That is the air of an experienced veteran receiver. He knows how to get through those defenders. He knows what he's doing. And now he's going to go over and get a breather, and he'll be right back in. But now the Ravens are going to go with a little bit bigger package, bringing in Zimmerman and Longo-Fuiana. Ravens are going to go 2x2 here on this first down call at the 9-yard line. Running back again to the right side, that's going to be Robbie, and Sharp will take the handoff. He's got room at the 10. He's got room at the 5. He's gone in the end zone. Touchdown, Ravens. That's Robbie Sharp. The Kansas City, Missouri native is a sophomore. Stretches the Benedictine lead to 41-0.
Well, coming into today's game, Robbie Sharp hadn't scored a varsity touchdown. He's already got 2, and we're just over 3 minutes into this second quarter. So a big play right there for Robbie Sharp. The Ravens, how about this, 41 points so far here in the first quarter, or the second quarter.
Harry Balke is going to have a double-digit scoring day. Anyone, I'll kick a field goal. PT on its way, up and good. And we're taking a break. Joseph at 11:59 to go. We're still in the opening half in Canton, Missouri. It is all Benedictine Ravens 42, Culver-Stockton nothing.
Don't let the flu season slow you and your family down this year. Roll on in for an Amberwell drive-through flu shot at your local Amberwell location. You can find a date and location convenient for you and register online now at amberwellhealth.org/flu shots. Drive through to drive the flu away with Amberwell Health. Register now for your drive-through flu shot appointment at amberwellhealth.org/flu shots.
Have you along with us here on Care Radio this afternoon. College football at the Heart of America Athletic Conference. BC going right to left, and it'll be kickoff specialist and punter Cullen Bruner out of Marceline, Missouri. A lot of Raven fans on hand here today from the St. Louis area, and even kicking into the wind, it's going to bounce at the 10, bounce at the 9, get picked up at the 8-yard line, kick coverage stopped at the 12. Those guys got down in a hurry, and a nice job for
BC on the kick coverage. That time, Robert Jones, who was down there to field the kick for Culver Stockton, kept watching that thing bound and swirl around and thinking to myself, you've got to field that. That's a live football. He didn't seem overly thrilled about it. And for Culver Stockton, pretty similar field position. They're going to be back at their own 12-yard line.
You got that? Do I get an assist?
Nope.
Rat. 11:29 to go in the half. Here's CSC. Running back. Little play action. QB's going to keep it. Starts right. Cuts into the middle. Three defenders will mow him down. Chase Waterman, again, is the lead blocker. He's the guy that Culver's kind of leaning on and trying to follow up the field. Drake Day, Gus, is back in at quarterback after having taken off the previous series. And he's back in to run this team. Sure, he just needed a minute to gather himself, too. 11 minutes to go in the half. Second down, 9. Culver at its own 14-yard line. Again, they seem very confused looking into the middle, and now Wildcats are going to settle in. Snap, quarterback play actions. Over the middle, caught. Beautiful catch at the 30. And nice individual tackle in the middle of the field at the 35-yard line. Well done by Benedictine and making the tackles there for the Ravens is going to be Isaiah Haston. That guy had a big week last week.
The catch over there by Eli Edmonds, a big 6'4" sophomore at St. Peter.
That was the best play of the afternoon for Culver Stockton. I'm going to say it right now. And not that it will be their biggest of the day, but it certainly is so far. 10:15 to play in the half. Culver at their own 35. Play action again. Quarterback back with time. Steps up. Rolls right. Now being pursued. Hit. Sack inside the 30. And again, the Ravens, Ben Gilliland out of Van Meter, Iowa, with the stop.
Ben's not a guy who has played a whole lot of snaps for this team, but that time doing a great job getting into the backfield, not being sold by the little fake pump from the quarterback. He was able to get back there, create a sack, and a 6-yard loss brings up 2nd and 16 for Culver Stockton. 9:40 left here in the first half of play.
QB with a man behind him on a 2nd down and 16 call. 2nd down and long. And they'll just wrap around, go straight ahead into the middle of the line. That turns into a big run. It's still driving and pushing forward and trying to advance the ball. That was just a good run into the middle for Culver, but it's going to be way, way short of a 1st down. That again is Kyota Sitoyama. Sitoyama, a red shirt junior, 5'10", 205 out of the STL. 3rd down, 6. Culver Stockton again will look long and hard over to the near side.
Coming into today's game, Kyota with only 8 carries on the season. He's only played 2 games.
Now they're going to give him a chance here today. He's going to stay in the block on his 3rd down call. A pass to the near side to the big tight end who makes the catch and gets mowed down on the near side again, Ben Gilliland, and he will topple the big tight end, Thomas Shue, out of La Puente, California. Shue's going to be dropped like one of those California Redwoods, running about 3 yards short. When he got him at the ankles, the big guy just tumbles over. And another punt coming up for Culver Stockton, and Joe Kennedy is getting a lot of work out today. Joe at his own 25-yard line.
So for Kennedy, he'll be lining up to punt for the 4th time this afternoon.
Think the Ravens are going to come after this one, or they're going to set the return?
Go after him.
And he's going to drop back, and that kick just away, and it's bad. I mean, it's way off the side of his foot. The line of scrimmage was the 42. The ball is going to be out of bounds at the 45. That's the other 45, so that is a 13-yard punt.
Not
about half his average, right?
Averaging 31.
Averaging 31. 21 punts on the season coming into the ball game today. And Benedictine again is going to start with fantastic field position. We always talk about how important good field position is to a team's success. Well, the Ravens have had that today. Jackson's back to throw. Going deep. Has a man. Langafuyana perfectly defended. That was an outstanding play downfield for Culver Stockton by Maddox Fraley. Yeah. Maddox did a great job. The big, strong safety.
Yep, strong safety. 21 tackles coming into today's ball game. He is a junior out of Cato Hills, Texas.
Second down, 10, Ravens. Tight end is going to shift over to the left side. QB's back to throw. Flares one, running back out of the backfield. Hit back there and just submarined. That was an excellent defensive play, and BC just couldn't move the, could not get the ball outside of Blake Weibel.
That time Blake Weibel was working against, was it Cameron? Yeah, Cameron Dover out there. Dover just wasn't able to stop him. That'll bring up now a 3rd and 10, and Benedictine has not been in this position much today.
Robbie Sharp is going to stay in at the running back for Benedictine. Another name is going to break out, trips left side, twins right. Sideline to sideline receivers for Benedictine on this 3rd down 10. They haven't had a 3rd down and long much today. Pass over the middle is bad, and it is picked and then dropped. A huge break for the Ravens as that ball was in and out of the hands of Carlos Price.
Well, that time Price had it in his hands, but he kind of tipped it up in the air. Was going to catch the Karen, but Tyler Watson, the Raven tight end, was able to come in and put a big hit on him and jar that football loose. And for the first time this afternoon, we're going to see Colin Bruner to punt.
We've got 7 minutes exactly to go in the opening half. Benedictine enjoying a 42-0 lead. Bruner takes a snap, standing at his own 31, and booms it away. It's high. Turns over. The wind will slow it down. The fair catch will be called for and executed at the 18-yard line. And Culver Stockton will begin this series, 1st and 10, from what is probably pretty familiar territory for them this afternoon. They're going to begin at their own 18-yard line.
For the Ravens, that's their first punt of the afternoon. The first 5 possessions have ended in touchdowns. You got to go back to the 3rd possession for Culver Stockton, where the Ravens got a defensive touchdown on that scoop and score by Trey Williams.
Drake Day comes in to run the ball. For Drake, that's not a great start to the afternoon. So far today, he's 2 of 5 throwing the ball for 24 yards. To compare that, Jackson Dooley is 12 of 15 for 165 and 2 touchdowns. And we've still got 7 minutes to go in the half. Here's a handoff to the running back who bumps into the middle of the line, and there's not much room there for Demarion Cobb. But you can see what Culver Stockton's done. They've quit experimenting. They're going to go back to their original starting 11, and they're just going to see if they can hammer on this thing and try to figure this offense out.
Zachary Lacombe comes up and makes the tackle for the Ravens, but earlier on in the ballgame, you kind of alluded to the size of that Culver Stockton offensive line. We'll talk a little bit more about them after this play.
2nd down, a half a dozen at the 22-yard line. Now a long look over to the near side for Drake Day. He talks to coach, gets the ball, hands off, running back, straight ahead. And hit, dropped after the gain of about 3. First guy, Blake Castillo. Man, as a young guy from Maryville, Missouri, because we're also going to talk, about that line, but I want to talk a little bit about Coach Osborne. If you look at some of these guys, here's a guy from Maryville, Missouri. Coach Osborne has certainly history there. And you're seeing them, I think, more Iowa players. Because I think his coach has a net, you know, in that area and some contacts and knows a lot of people that way. And it helps in that recruiting process. 3rd down, 2. And for Culver Stockton, 1st and 10s have been a difficult, difficult thing to come up with. See if they can come up with one right here. QB, back to throw, rolls right, looks downfield, can't get it. He reaches the ball out, but it's way short.
Culver Stockton 0 of 5 on 3rd downs this afternoon. Now, I feel like they're going to make that 0 of 6.
And here's the thing. Culver Stockton, 2 first downs today, 1 passing, 1 rushing. Benedictine, 15 first downs so far this afternoon. It'll bring up a 4th down and 2 after quarterback keepers doesn't get enough yardage, and it'll be, again, a punt for Culver Stockton. CSC looking to put a toe to the ball.
This will be their 5th punt attempt of the day.
Kicker, Ethan Bolanger out of Coconut Creek, Florida. That's one of my favorite places, Coconut Creek. And
Culver Stockton going to utilize the timeout here.
Yeah, want to hang on to it. Let's do that. We're going to talk a little bit about the Culver Stockton line, even though the offense is going off the field.
They were going to punt the football with 10 guys, and they knew that Benedictine had been in there too much. You probably shouldn't try to kick this one with only 10 guys on the field.
How about this for CSC? Going from left to right across that front five on the offensive line, and this may be the biggest the biggest offensive line we see all year with Jalen Dawkins, 6'5", 330, Jace Waterman, 6'5", 295. He's a little guy. Brian Yabby, 6'3", 300. Mason Hilke, 6'7", 320. And the right tackle is Colin Howell, a 6'4", 315-pound freshman from Fate, Texas. So Culver Stockton, absolutely big, big men on that front five.
I got a question for you.
Fire.
Will the Ravens be the largest margin of victory today?
Gosh, you know, if not, somebody has really done a job. Here's a snap. Way high. The kicker has to go up and get it and just able to get it away. Are they going to call a roughing? They are not. The kicker flies to the ground, and they're going to say no roughing. And, again, not a great punt. It'll be going this time to the 40-yard line. So at least it was a, you know, 31, 32-yard kick. And Benedict, from his own 40-yard line, first down.
I'm not really sure what is happening because all the officials are coming together. Oh, there's a penalty marker there on the far side. I see it now.
Well, I still don't, but I'm tricking y'all's words.
Straight across on the 25.
Oh, there it is. Gotcha.
Yep.
All right, so the Ravens are going to be offside.
And that's going to be a 5-yard penalty and net Culver a first down via the penalty.
Okay, so Culver Stockton with 3 first downs today. 1 rushing, 1 passing, and now 1 by penalty. And at 5:11 to go in the opening half, the Wildcats offense breathes new life. And quarterback, 6'2 senior Drake Day, brings him off the sideline. Last week against Grandview, Drake didn't have a terrible day. 17 of 28 throwing the ball for 123 and 2 touchdowns. He's having a much worse day today so far. 2 of 5 for 24.
Grandview starting to find their stride. 8 minutes left in the second quarter. Okay.
Okay.
They lead Clark 38-0.
They're watching the scores. They feel like they got to match this. First down and throwing 31. QB's back, steps up. Uh-oh, big bear hug and ridden to the ground by Kevin Harris. Here's what I'm Drake Day says. There's nobody downfield. I'm going to run. And as he steps up beyond his offensive line blocking, I think he looks over and he just sees the looming figure of Kevin Harris.
Kind of reminded me of the scene in the movie Gladiator when the lion jumps on his back. Like, that's exactly what it was. Is Kevin Harris just jumps right on the back of the quarterback and was able to ride Day to the ground. They're going to say a loss of 1, so they'll call it a sack for big Kevin Harris.
Now at their own 30-yard line, second down and long pass over the middle, little slant inside. And because there is a play that has caused Benedict in no small amount of grief this season, covering it. And even for Culver Stockton, and I say that, don't read into it some kind of demeaning remark here, but even for Culver Stockton, they're having success with that slant.
Yep, that was a 6-yard gain right there on that slant. Just getting in front of the cornerback and able to catch him before he gets into the linebacker.
Cross the 35-yard line. CSC with a 3rd-down 5 call and 4 minutes to go in the opening half. For Culver Stockton, you talk, and we've been talking lately considerably about setting goals, reachable, attainable goals for Culver Stockton. A point in the first half. Wouldn't that be, like, huge? Back to throw, going deep right side, and that is well beyond the reach and grasp of Eli Edmonds.
That time, Jared Heron put a huge hit on quarterback Drake Day as he let go of it. Heron from not too far from here. Moberly.
And back into the game will come punter for Culver Stockton, Joe Kennedy. Joe going to settle in this time at his own 23-yard line. That last time he came in to punt, there was a Raven penalty on an offside, and it gave the ball back to the Wildcats. 3:43 to go in the first half. Ravens in front 42-0. Snap back again a little bit high. He's able to pull it down. Ravens put no pressure on, and this is a really good kick. It is high and hanging. It'll be taken by Jay Sean. He'll be hit immediately at the 25. He'll lose the first couple of tacklers to the 30. Bounces up to the 35 and kind of works his way. That was hard-earned yardage up to the 37-yard line. First to 10, Benedictine. Off of the Ravens, 3.5 minutes to go in the first half from their own 33-yard line. So, guess this would be a pretty impressive drive to move downfield and see if you can do something before the half.
Something that's going to sound kind of crazy, that was a pretty good drive for Culver Stockton in the sense of they were able to use a little clock, right? They got the penalty. They got the first down. Again, they were able to run a little clock before giving the ball back to Benedictine.
Zimmerman will shift over to the left side. Quarterback is back. Flares one near side. It's going to be caught here on the near sideline. And it will be Matthew Sanford making the grab. See how far they're going to mark him ahead. Gaining about 9 yards up to the 47-yard line. How about Bob Jones? Robert Jones is kind of a do-everything guy. He's from Duchesne High School in St. Louis, Missouri. Or Missouri, depending on how you like it. Second down and a yard. But Jones is a defender. He's a kick return guy. He's just a really good athlete. Hand off right side. 50, 45. Nice sprint to the outside by Robbie Sharp. He'll take it into Culver territory. Tackled there by the strong safety, Maddox Fraley. First and 10, Benedictine at the Wildcat 40. 2 minutes and 40 to go in the half. Once the second quarter started going, it's moved a little bit more briskly for the Ravens with a 42-0 lead and a first and 10 call. Jackson Doolin, wonder how much he'll play in the second half. Motion will go over to the left side. He's back to throw, looking. Now we'll take a little relief valve pass to Jay Sean, who just should have. It didn't catch it. It'll go incomplete. Wow, beautiful day here in Northeast Missouri. Ravens a big lead. Hope you're having a good time enjoying football on KAIR-FM Horton Atchison. Ravens are going to bring 1, 2, 3 guys in, 3 guys out, and on a second and long call, second down 10, they're going to stay with Robbie Sharp in the backfield. He will get the handoff, go straight ahead to the 40, and just kind of twist and wiggle his way down to the 30. What, they're going to give him 37-yard line. Pick up about 3 or so. Third down 6.
Raven's going to run in 1, 2, 3, 4 new offensive linemen. Now make it 5 because we're going to bring in a new center. 65 is Britton Smith. Okay. So Smith's going to stay to the right side. The Ravens are going to utilize the timeout because they just shifted out their entire line. They're going to make sure everything's good. And actually, I'm sorry, it's not the Ravens utilize that timeout. We're down to the 2 minutes left in the half.
Tell you what, we might just hang on to it right here because here's what Benedictine has done. They've let some of the young guys come in, and they have just brought back in the entire starting front five of Harrison Schmidt, Jacoby Hinton, Rashad Beckham, Trey Madrid, Britton Smith. Those are the 5 guys who just checked back into the game. And so the Ravens, they are serious, okay, with this 2-minute drill and the ball at a 3rd and 7 at the Wildcat 37-yard line.
So yep. You look back at the first quarter, Benedictine had 4 possessions. So far here in the second quarter, they've been limited to only 3 possessions. So, again, starting to cut down on those, and a lot of that is because Culver Stockton has utilized a little more time when they've had the football. They're not just throwing those quick passes and giving Benedictine the ball back in 36 seconds.
Gus, I got a little research for you to do. I need a number for a guy because I want to see if we're going to get some guys in the game here for Benedictine later on. So I'm going to have you see that name right there at the bottom. See if you can't pull, see if you can't find him, and we're going to see if we can find him on the sideline because I feel like, and I think a lot of Raven fans around the Carroll listening area and beyond its normal reaches, I'm going to expect that Benedictine is going to be able to incorporate some of the young guys on the sideline and get them into the game here yet this afternoon. Quarterback is back to throw, looking down, setting up a screen. Well diagnosed, and it's going to gain only a couple of yards. Robbie Sharp made the catch, but that was absolutely sniffed out by Robert Jones. Jones, he's just a veteran guy, knows what he's doing, saw what was happening there. Everybody realized we got through this thing a little too easily. And the tackle made a couple of yards gain, and Benedictine on a 4th down and 4 at the CSC 34-yard line. What will the Ravens do? Certainly they're not going to punt the ball. They're not going to make a field goal attempt that would be 50 yards. They're going to go for it on 4th down 4. Thank you. Motion will come to the right side for the Ravens. Cameron Dover back to throw.
QB going deep, has his man, and it's going to be out of the reach of Matthew Sanford, who had beaten his coverage. And Jackson Dooley just got a little bit too much air under that.
Yeah, he just failed that pass, right? He dropped back, let go of the pass before he set that back foot, and Sanford got good size out there at 6'4", just couldn't get up high enough to catch that pass, and a turnover on downs. We'll give Culver Stockton the ball at their own 34-yard line.
Okay, now for Culver Stockton, let's see, guys, getting ahead a little bit of Coach Tom Sally. Do you just start, like, throwing this thing downfield? Do you try to get something in at halftime? You just try to not turn it over and give it back and give up a late score? Do you fall on the ball? What do? Get conservative? How do you handle it?
Push it. You got nothing to lose right here.
Well, Drake Day's back, and he's being pushed. Chased out of the pocket. Now he's going to find a little bit of running room. Gets to midfield. Look at him weave his way up the field. That's the best play of the day for Culver Stockton on what turned into a quarterback keeper as he was flushed out of the pocket. Isaiah Haston, that's a name that Raven fans are going to want to learn and know, and they're going to get to know that guy for a long time, a freshman out there for BC. And Culver's going to take a timeout as they feel like now, with 57 seconds to go in the opening quarter, that there is an opportunity to get the goose egg off the board before halftime.
Yeah, they're going to have the wind behind them, so you've got a shot to maybe even kick a field goal right here. The kicker on the season, Ethan Bolanger, 1 of 3 with a long of 31 yards. And what, Coconut Creek, Florida, it's probably a little closer to sea level than this.
Yeah, probably a little bit. We're up on the banks of the Mississippi River. I would say that we are, you know, up on the hillside here. We're going to be 1,000 to 1,100 feet elevation here. So, yeah, I would say Coconut Creek, Florida, elevation 8 feet, right? Something like that. Here we go, coming out of the timeout. Culver Stockton will huddle them up right on the logo. They have the ball at the Benedictine 40-yard line. This may be their deepest possession in the Raven territory this afternoon. Running back in the backfield. Going to step up to the quarterback's right hand. Motion will come to the right side on his first down call. QB's back to throw. Looking downfield, looking left. He's got his man, and it is going to be caught. And is it held on to? It is touchdown, Culver Stockton. A spectacular headlong dive and a full extension reception deep in the left corner for the Wildcats. And Culver has gotten on the board with 49 seconds of play in the opening half. Gus, that was a splendid play.
Yeah, that time he had double coverage over there on the left and just let it fly. What a job by quarterback Drake Day with the first touchdown in the afternoon for Culver Stockton, coming with 49 seconds.
Yep, Kyle Dixon with the catch of that 39-yard TD pass. The PAT is airborne. It's slow, it's wobbly, but it's good enough, and we're taking a timeout. Joseph, as the Wildcats get on the board, we take a break. 49 seconds left before intermission. Benedictine, 42. Culver Stockton now 7.
Ready to look and feel your best? Snap Fitness in Atchison is more than just a 24-hour gym. With 3 tanning beds, you can get that perfect glow. Appointments are available Monday through Thursday from 10 to 1 and 2 to 6, and Fridays and Saturdays from 10 to 12. Stop by Snap Fitness at 409 Commercial or call 913-367-1511 to book your tanning session today. Get your tan on at Snap Fitness.
Got to have you back with us here in Canton, Missouri, where the Culver Stockton Wildcats are going to be set to kick this thing away. Wait a minute. They haven't done a lot of that today. Putting a toe to the football will be Ethan Bolanger. Ethan just hit that PAT and sends a sail. It's going to be taken with the Ravens of the yard deep. Here comes the BC return. Up the right side, coming up the numbers to the 20, 25. Little sideways step, then down at the 30-yard line. And Benedictine on the return by Jay Sean Todd, going to have it first and 10. 45 seconds left in the first half. Because the first half has taken a while, but then again, you know, when you take scoring 50 points takes a little bit.
Taking a look at that other game going on in the conference.
Well, by now there's a couple, right?
Yeah, but the one we've been paying attention to is that Grandview-Clark game. They've got about 3 minutes left in the first half of it, as Grandview leads Clark right now 41-0. So,
quick short drop back pass over the right side, a high pass again, and a nice one-hand attempt at hauling it in. It's going to be incomplete. Strong effort over there by Cameron Dover to pull that thing in, but he could not. And Gus passed a couple specifically and several of the most recent passes for Jackson Dooley. He's had a little too much on him. They're getting a little bit high and a little bit out of reach. He's going to go back to throw again. Steps up in the pocket. Now being chased out, running for his life. He's going to be hitting. He's going to be thrown to the ground back at the 20-yard line. So Jackson, and this is a reversion to what we have seen from him before, either getting a whistle for an illegal grounding or, in that case, being thrown for the loss of about 10 or 12 yards.
Yeah, and you look over to the sideline, is Jackson senior right next to head coach Joel Osborne, and I'm not so sure coach is interested in sitting in a play right now.
Well, they don't have to. 7 seconds, six. That's going to do it. The teams will head for the locker room, and we'll return here to Elson Poland Stadium and recap the first half for you. At intermission, it's the Benedict and Ravens 42, Culver Stockton 7.
Stop by Atchison Dairy Queen Grill and Chill for lunch or dinner. Try their signature stack burgers or chicken strip basket, original or honey barbecue sauced and tossed. Top it off with a classic DQ treat like a hot fudge sundae, dipped cone, or one of the many Blizzard flavors. All right now at Dairy Queen Grill and Chill in Atchison. Happy tastes good.
Ta-da! For our next trick, Taco John's will turn your dollar into deliciousness with our BOGO for a Buck menu. Buy an item from our BOGO menu and presto taco. Look, a tasty taco bravo for just a buck. Alaca burrito. There, now it's a classic meat and potato burrito for a buck. That's one talented dollar. Try this BOGO for a Buck menu trick for yourself at your nearest Taco John's. Download our app, earn free food.
Welcome back, everybody, to Canton, Missouri. Benedict and making his way off the field, and they're going to just go over here probably in the field kind of on the south side. Gus, if you look who's walking into the end zone, Patrick Hodapp, head trainer for Benedict, is walking along, and he's trailing these guys up the field. I'm sure he's going to have a word because you got a player who's got a sore knee, right? Got a big ice bag, you know, kind of wrapped to the knee, and they've given him crutches. So what do? You carry the crutches and you walk off the field limping. But, you know, let's not use those, shall we? Oh, wow, doubled up. Thank you. Welcome back, everybody. Benedictine, guys. Spectacular first half. I really don't know quite where to begin. They played extremely well and pretty much in every facet of the game.
Yeah, in that first half, the Ravens had, you know, I think about as good of a half as they would have wanted. Now, it didn't exactly finish as sharply as they had anticipated. Your first five possessions ended in touchdowns, but then you start looking at your last three possessions. A punt, a turnover on downs, and then that last possession. You can say it was 49 seconds, but the Ravens ended up having an incomplete pass, a sack, and then just let that thing go to half. So, again, probably not as sharp as they wanted to be going into the break, but you can't have very many complaints up 42-7 here at the half.
And in all candor, the human condition being what it is, I mean, it's going to be pretty difficult to maintain that sharpness and that razor focus when you're leading a team 42-0, you know, like barely into the second quarter. And so for the Ravens, one of the big jobs, I think the coaches are going to have at halftime. Certainly they're going to have a job selecting, you know, who they're going to incorporate and kind of work into the scheme of the play in the second half. But also, they're going to have to, you know, try to make sure that they are able to coach this team, inspire this team, and keep them, frankly, interested.
Yeah, in the first half, Benedictine ran 36 plays for 277 yards for Culver Stockton, 28 plays, 133 yards of total offense.
Now, let's just say 277 is not really a crazy number.
No, I mean.
I mean, that's a 500-yard game.
Yeah, and so, but you turn around, and that's what Benedictine did last year against Culver Stockton was 500 yards. They also had the one defensive touchdown on the Trey Williams. He picked up the fumble, scooped, and scored, if you will. And so for Benedictine, again, the first five possessions were great. Got to clean up those last couple ones. The one thing that I'm thrilled about in this ball game, and the one stat that I really glean out of all of this, in the first half, how many total penalties did we see?
Oh, I don't know. It didn't seem like crazy numbers.
It was one, and it was
really?
On that fourth down punt where the Ravens lined up offsides.
Okay.
That was the only penalty of the first half. One penalty, 5 yards. And that's something that has kind of plagued the Ravens this season. It hasn't bit them yet, but it's been something that their numbers have been, you know, seven penalties, 100 yards, about every week.
Well, that all said, good first half for Benedictine in a second half coming up. We'll be back to share it with you. But right now is the Wildcat Marching Band. And I tell you, I love big, fuzzy, sparkly blue plumage on the helmet. And they've got that going on. We'll be back after they entertain the crowd here at halftime, bring you the second half live. But right now, with the intermission score in Canton, Missouri, Benedictine 42, Culver Stockton 7. We're kicking it back to our man Joseph at a Care Sports Studio. He's got you some halftime.
It's time for the Taco John's Halftime Show on your home for Benedictine football. Care Radio 93.7. Taco John's in Atchison. Bigger, bolder, better.
Ta-da! For our next trick, Taco John's will turn your dollar into deliciousness with our BOGO for a Buck menu. Buy an item from our BOGO menu and presto taco. Look, a tasty taco bravo for just a buck. Alaca burrito. There, now it's a classic meat and potato burrito for a buck. That's one talented dollar. Try this BOGO for a Buck menu trick for yourself at your nearest Taco John's. Download our app, earn free food.
We've got Javai Blomquist with us, defensive back for the Benedictine Ravens. Javai, it's good to talk to you, young man. How you doing?
I'm doing good today. How are you?
I'm great. Hey, let's start with the, let's just go to the background. Let's get a little Javai biography. Tell me about home and where you're from.
So I'm from San Diego, California. Grew up in City Heights. Moved to Northern San Diego. Been playing football since I was 5 years old. And ever since then, you know, just been grinding. So.
Got siblings, brother, sister?
Yes, I do. I have four sisters and one brother. So, you know, I love those guys. I'm the oldest. I'm the oldest of six. So, you know, like to do a lot with them. My mom, dad, you know, love them.
Are they athletic? Your siblings? Are they ball
no,
players?
No, actually, I'm the first football player in my family. So that's you know, something that I get to hold and hold like an accolade. Of some sort, so definitely.
Okay, and Madison High School, right?
Yes, sir. Went to Madison High School.
Go Warhawks?
Yes, go Warhawks. Under Coach Rick Jackson. We did a whole lot out there. We had a lot of success, but unfortunately didn't get to win any championships, but, you know, hopefully we get to do it out here.
See, I was going to ask you, so how good was the team? Was it pretty good then?
Yeah, we were pretty good. We went to, like, the third round of playoffs my junior year, but, you know, senior year, COVID had happened and everything, and never really got the chance to see where we could go with that, so.
Well, tell me a little bit about, here's a Southern California guy. But here you are in the heartland. Now, how'd you end up coming from out there to here?
Honestly, I had to sit down with my parents and talk to them. Benedictine was one of my only options out of the COVID season that I could come to. So, you know, we came out here, checked it out, and I loved it. It was super cold, though. You know, it was something that was different. But weighed out my options and came out here and loved it ever since.
Were you one of the guys who had never seen snow till you came to Atchison?
Yeah, I had never seen snow until I came out here in February of 2020, or 2021, I believe. So, yep.
I had to buy a coat when you got here?
Yeah, I had to get my first coat. I had never had a coat. Didn't have any. I had to get, like, the thermals.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was definitely interesting for the first time. And I loved it when I first came out here, but now the snow gets on my nerve a little bit. So.
it kind of gets that way after a while.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Okay, when you're in high school, obviously, football guy, but were you a multi-sport guy, or was football just kind of the thing?
I played basketball for the first 2 years of my high school career, but after a while, I stopped doing that and stuck to football and track. So I was a dual-sport athlete, but never, you know, played any other sports other than track and football for the most part.
Madison, your team, are there any of your teammates who went on to play, you know, after high school football?
In my class, not that I... Oh, actually, Chris Jackson, he's playing at Mesa College right now, so he's doing his thing over there. But outside of that, Herman Smith, he's at Idaho State right now, and, yeah, a few guys for sure. But.
Okay, let's talk about important stuff. Academics. Tell me about your major and things.
Oh, I'm currently business management, thinking about doing sports management as well. Don't necessarily know what I want to do with that, but I know I want to do some kind of entrepreneurial work and, you know, own my own business. So
if I decide, like, I'm going to go pro, I should call you. You're going to be, like, my agent?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I get you right. I definitely, whatever you need, you know, I'm going to look for one thing that a million people have a problem with and try to fix it, especially if it's, like, an efficiency thing or something of that nature.
So when you came to Benedictine, I mean, sure, you made a visit. You were here for a weekend and kind of got to see the place. But when you got here, what was it like compared to maybe what you thought you were going to get yourself into? How is it the same as you thought or maybe different than you expected?
It was definitely different coming out here, small town, you know, as compared to San Diego. The people were a lot nicer. It was very interesting to see that. The coaches knew my name, and I don't know. It was just like the vibe is a lot different in a small town like Atchison and like Benedictine, but it was definitely interesting. I loved it. You know, we had so much fun coming out here, especially with my parents and stuff for the first time. It was definitely nice.
Is your family, it's a long trip. Does your family get an opportunity to ever come and get to see a game?
Yes, they will be coming out here this weekend, actually. They come out here tomorrow, but they'll be out here for the game and all of those things. They come out like once a year. Everybody comes out and we have like a good time. They'll either stay in Kansas City or Atchison area and we'll all get together in an Airbnb and just, you know, have a good time.
So we're bringing, brothers, sisters are coming along too.
One of my sisters is coming, so I'm definitely excited to see her, but hopefully I can get the rest of my siblings to come out here soon.
Let's talk a little bit about you and this football team. The defense has just been, I think, has been lights out so far this year. Tell me about the group and the fact that I feel like this is a tight-knit bunch of guys.
Man, those guys keep me grounded, man. We're definitely super tight-knit. You know, I don't know what I'll do without those guys, man. You know, we work hard every day. We preach every day to, you know, be brothers and be tight and to work hard together. So it's like that translates to the field whenever we're out there battling with each other. We trust each other to do our job, and that's what we do. And then it all just ends up working out in the end, you know what I mean? Nobody is thinking that they're above the next person. You know, we all know our jobs and know our responsibilities, and we do it all to a high level.
Javai Blomquist with his Benedictine defensive back, and I go with defensive back, even though in a program and on my boards I put you down as a safety, but let's talk a little bit about the position that you play, because, again, you're listed as a safety. I look at you and I see your size. I'm thinking safety, and yet I'm going to some of the games and, you know, thinking back, and I think particularly maybe the Grandview game last year,
mm-hmm.
I see you as a linebacker line. I see you rushing the quarterback. I mean, tell me about that. How does that all come together, man?
So for our position, it's different because we have a hybrid position, which is called the star. And the star, as a star, we play like a linebacker safety type of hybrid, and we have to learn all of the positions during practice and in our position meetings. So I did that for a good amount of time last year, and it was a lot of fun. But, you know, I'd like to be back deep and make plays. So it's definitely we definitely do a lot with that. The safety position is very versatile on this team, but, yeah, that's basically what that is.
So practice. I come up, I watch practice quite a bit. Just got done watching you guys do practice before we get together here today. And
is it as intense as I think it is, and is it complicated? Because I look at the defense, and I'm thinking, it's not just see the ball, chase the ball. There's more to it than that.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of trusting your eyes. And on our defense, you have to really know every position, especially as the safety. So it could be very complex and complicated to someone that's looking at it for the first time. But, yeah, it's definitely a lot to look at. But we have to know all the positions on the field, like I said, as a safety. And during practice, we play with high intensity, high energy at all times. So you're doing that and you're working hard and you're doing all these rotations and stuff. And it's like, you know. So
who'd you read? I mean, when you're looking at the offense, they come out and then they're shifting around. Are you following somebody? Are you looking to see, okay, there's one guy in the backfield, so I got to be over here? Yeah, how's that go?
I guess as the star, really, your first read is off of the linebacker a lot of the time, or off of the running back a lot of the time. So based off of what they're doing, you know, you adjust yourself off of those plays that we call. But we do run a lot of plays, and really just off of our plays, it's a lot of different jobs and responsibilities that you have doing that. But it's not really one key read that you have. It's like in the moment as the play is going along and you're seeing things happening, you have to adjust yourself based off of that. So.
No time for the coach to telegraph in and say, hey, you got to do this. You have to be able to be the guy on the spot.
Yeah, they definitely can't hold your hand, and we don't do that here. You know, they put a lot on us, and they give us a lot of responsibility to have to make these plays and do the things that we do. But we like it that way, you know, and it makes it better for us as a squad to trust each other and do things with each other and talk about the plays with each other and then go out and, you know, execute.
Tobias Blomquist is with us here as a Benedictine defensive back. And the season, a couple of bumps along the way, but you know what? There's a long road ahead and a bright future for this team. The team's still feeling good, aren't they?
Yeah, no, most definitely. We still feel that we're playing, or we can play to a higher level, play at a championship level. And we do. We work so hard every day over the summer and, you know, just seeing the stuff come along, even though it's been a couple bumps in the road, you know, we're going to get over those bumps and, you know, win, or hopefully, you know, God willingly win a championship. And we're all on the same page with that. You know, nobody has lost faith or lost hope in any of in the program or the team or anything like that. So we're definitely excited. Even though the humps are there, you know, we're going to overcome it. You know, no championship level team is ever going to be, you know, not having any adversity. So.
Okay, so you talked about staying around. Were you one of the many players who spent the summer here?
Yeah, we definitely had like 120 players stay over the summer, and that definitely made a big difference, at least, you know, with the chemistry on this team. It's very good chemistry. We work every day, you know, play blood, sweat, and tears with the person next to your left and to your right. So,
what was your summer job? This is going to be good.
It was a... I worked at Wendy's for half of the summer, and then when I was back home for the beginning of May. So when I was back home, I was working in a nursing facility, and I was doing like a sitter job where I was watching the clients and things of that nature. So when I came out here, I was looking for some, and then I ended up working at Wendy's, and I actually enjoyed it a lot. It was a lot of fun.
You see a lot of people. You meet a lot of folks,
right,
you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It was nice because, you know, you've seen all the people that are, like, in Kansas. It's a lot of different people, a lot of different individuals. And being out there, you know, definitely gave me a broader perspective about what Kansas is about. And it was a lot of fun.
Okay. Let's say someday, and I have never been to Southern California, okay? We'll start with that. Mm-hmm. So let's someday that I go to San Diego, mm-hmm. and I have to give you a call because you're going to take me out. Where are we going to go to eat, and what are we going to have? Because if I'm going out there, I'm going to have to depend on you, you know, to kind of show me the right place. Tell me where we go.
I'll probably take you to Alberto's Taco Shop, and we would have to get the carne asada fries or a California burrito. San Diego is known, or California at least, is well known for their taco shop, so that's definitely one of my favorite places to go to when I'm out there.
So this is like a regular restaurant, not a food truck.
It's like a little corner. It doesn't even have like a dine-in area. Like, you have to drive through and pick your order up, and then you drive out. Like, it's just a drive-in, drive-through. It's really nice. It's not super nice. It's all yellow and red. I love it though. It's very good.
Okay, as a young man who is you know, you've traveled some. I mean, you've been West Coast, you've been here in the Midwest, mm-hmm. you've been in school, you've had jobs, you know, and working and doing a lot of things. Let's say one of your, you know, a war hawk comes up to you, a young man at school, says, mm-hmm. man, Javai, you know, I'm trying to decide what to do. Give me a little advice. What kind of advice do you give a young person here today?
I would tell that young person to be prepared really for anything, any situation that you go into. There's a lot of ups and downs, you know, but at the end of the day, we are a brotherhood here and, you know, we work hard. So if you can do those two things and follow along and, you know, fall in line, then you would definitely be fit for here. But, you know, like I said, we work hard and sometimes that can be an issue for some folks. So it's like, as long as you know that you can work hard and you can, you know, be a brother and enjoy your time here, then it's going to be really fun. It's going to be a real fun time.
Who'd you turn to for advice? Who is your mentor? I mean, obviously your father certainly was, but were there other individuals in your life that, you know, that kind of gave you good advice or who you looked at them and said, man, I'm going to model myself after this individual and because they're doing what I want to do?
My mom was a big role model of mine just growing up in general. I love her to death. She works hard every single day, and, you know, I kind of bring that mindset to, you know, the field every single day, at least. You know, she's the hardest working person that I know, so seeing that every day, you know, motivates me to do better every single day, and I love it. I love her to death. You know, also Coach Jackson, he's my high school head coach. I looked up to him a lot, you know, looked to him for advice for a lot of the college things, the college situations that I was going to end up in or, you know, possible situations. And he gave me a lot of good advice and, you know, it was a big part of the reason why I'm here today. You know, he told me to take a risk and, you know, trust myself. And ever since then, taking that advice has just helped me elevate to a whole new level. So.
Outstanding. Okay, we're going to wrap it up. You've got things to do, but I've got one more question. I've been asking all the guys this question and it's like the hardest question I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
Superman, Batman, Spider-Man. Which is it?
Spider-Man. Easy.
Okay. How was that?
Spider-Man's been my favorite. He's definitely been my favorite superhero growing up. But he's just super agile. He's super strong. He has a personality. He's super funny. So it's like I feel like Superman and Batman are super serious and always trying to just do too much, like honestly do too much, and Spider-Man, you know, he's always there to help individuals, but he has fun while doing it, and you know, that's kind of how I like to live my life. So
there you go, Javai Blomquist. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, young man. I appreciate you taking your time and wish you very good success in the classroom, on the field. Go Ravens, man.
Appreciate it. It was a pleasure speaking to you as well.
Here is your Hot Country 93.7 forecast. Ample sunshine expected this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 94. Southwesterly winds, 15 to 20 miles an hour. Clear skies again tonight, lows level off around 53. Ample sunshine expected tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 76. Lots of sunshine and dry, Monday and Tuesday, mid-70s, Monday, upper 70s by Tuesday. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford.
Thanks for listening to the Taco John's Halftime Show on your home for Raven football, Care Radio 93.7. Taco John's in Atchison. Bigger, bolder, better. We now return to Tom and Gus live at the stadium for second half coverage of Benedictine Raven football.
Hey, with that, we welcome you back once again to Elton Poland Stadium here on the campus of Culver Stockton College in Canton, Missouri, where both teams have made their way back to their sidelines, and we're getting ready to go to the second half with Benedictine in front, 42-7. Welcome back, everybody. Joseph, great job at halftime. Great job all the time. What am I talking about? Joseph, our producer and engineer back at the Care Radio studio. Gus Counts with me here upstairs. Gus, Ravens just raced out to a big lead. It's going to be interesting to see how they elect to handle this newfound wealth, you know?
Yeah, the Ravens got up by 42, and then Culver Stockton scored that last touchdown on the 39-yard pass to Kyle Dixon. That thing came with 49 seconds left in the half, and now Culver Stockton going to send their kick return unit out.
Colin Bruner has been kicking this thing deep all day long, and this one is going to be no exception, as it will go, again, about 7-8 yards deep. The return guys, they're just standing at the goal line, don't even flinch. Kevin Gardner and Robert Jones don't even raise their head or look backward as they watch it sail beyond them and out of the back of the end zone. First and 10, Culver Stockton.
Didn't even flinch.
No. Quarterback for pretty much all day. It's been the 6'2 senior, Drake Day, out of Story City, Iowa. We did have one series where Carson Vandalo came in and ran the club, and Day is always back in to begin the second half. First and 10. Wildcats will get things underway as the third quarter unfolds. Good to have you along with us here this afternoon. With motion to the left side and running back on the left hand of the quarterback. Now he's going to flood the left side, hand off a little jet sweep. No, quarterback's going to pull it back, go upfield, pick up four. So all that motion, Gus, was moving across the field from right to left, and they were hoping that the defense was going to keep flowing with them and open up the middle, and the quarterback took the snap and went straight ahead. Nice little gain, give him four. Second down call.
Going to pick up 4 yards before Tim Glazer gets credited with the tackle. Glazer, the big senior out of Olathe.
Kyle Dixon is going to be wide to the left side, one of the better receivers for CSC. Now the quarterback going deep, lobbing. He put some air under it, and the receiver's going to catch it, but I think he's out of bounds. He is right on the 50-yard line. That was a good pass, but it just happened to carry Eli Edmonds out of bounds a little bit. Trey Williams is over there on the deep coverage for BC, right in front of the Raven bench at the midfield mark. Incomplete pass leaves a third down, 6-4, the Wildcats, about a half a minute into the third quarter. Now, here's a problem for Culver Stockton, because I really think that one of the last things they want to do is incomplete passes, stop the clock. I mean, don't they want to remove some time here?
Well, that was kind of their problem in the first couple possessions of the ball game, is that they were giving up quick possessions because of incomplete passes.
QB's back to throw again with all day to throw it, and a diving effort. Incomplete at the 40-yard line. It was going to be plenty for the first down, but instead of a headlong dive after the football, Gavin Gardner made kind of a feet-first dive, and the ball kind of glances off of his side and then onto the turf, and the Ravens are going to have their kick return unit on the field, and Gus, as you see, Jay Sean come out of the field. Culver Stockton, in very Wildcat form, took 48 seconds off the clock in that possession.
And you're going to kick into the wind, so this thing's going to probably be closer to midfield.
Jay Sean standing at his own 40-yard line. This kick is high. It turns over. He'll call a fair catch, make it at the 43, and Benedictine will begin its initial possession of the second half from there. Ravens in front, 42-7, and will begin here first and 10 at their own 42-yard line. Here comes the Benedictine offense. Ravens in the ball game at 4-1 on the season. 1-0 in the Heart South, and Gus, for Benedictine, they are looking directly into the teeth of the bye week. No Raven game next Saturday. First time since August they haven't had a game on a Saturday.
Next week will be a good chance to kind of get everybody healthy and ready to finish out that run through the South. As they started it last week, then come back to the North, and a little confusing.
And it's back by guys getting healthy. We've got a whole new look of guys in the backfield. And let's just talk a little bit about what we see going on. First of all, Benedictine, the snap is back to Jackson Dooley, who is still in running the Raven offense. They've got Perrott, who is set up in the backfield. And you have Robbie Sharp, who's in there, because Dalton Witherspoon got dinged up a little bit, and he's kind of got a little bit of a gimpy leg, and so they're going to let him rest up, I think, this second half. And now Benedictine is going to make another adjustment at the running back spot on this second down and long call. Second down at about 14. QB's back, throws it over to the left side again. Jackson Dooley just way too high, too long, too far. Way, way out of the reach of Gathright. It will bring up third down. And Benedictine hadn't taken off much more time than Culver has on their possession.
Well, and right now, Jackson Dooley is sailing all of these passes. So, again, after this possession, he'll be able to come over to the sideline, talk to his quarterback's coach about what they see and what he's doing. I'm not sure if he's not getting set and just driving that football. It's almost like he's kind of throwing off that back foot and sailing everything right now.
Sharp, your running back, on his third down and long call. They'll sweep over Peratt to the left side. Trips left. QB's going to be back to throw again. Steps up in the pocket. Got room to run, but doesn't. Throw short. Taken by Longo Fuliana. 45, 50, first down, 45, and bumped out of bounds at the 43-yard line. That was a well-executed play. And what I loved about that by Jackson Dooley was because he didn't sell out on, here's where I'm going with the ball. He ran through the progression, checked it down, found his probably three receiver cutting across in the middle and put it on him. Nicely done. The Ravens keeping the drive alive, and they're still throwing the ball. Same man, same pass, same reception, and more yards for Joseph Lagofuliana, and another Benedictine first down now inside the 35.
Bingo, same result, right? And that time the Ravens with another first down. They're going to keep this drive going here in the second half. 12:44 left here in the third quarter.
BC quickly up over the football. They do not huddle. They've got this whole thing scripted, and here's a handoff straight ahead. It's going to be Robbie. He's at the 30. Driving, pushing. A lineman get behind him. Shoving a sack to the 25. Still moving forward. Down near the 20-yard line. My question is always, we talk about this in the car.
We talked about this on the way over.
Yes. When do you call that play stopped and dead? The running back is upright. Everybody's kind of standing around there. It's like a rugby scrum. And then about three big linemen. You get about a 1,000-pounder lineman behind it. And they push it forward, and it went all the way down to the 22. Now here's a pass into the end zone. TZ, touchdown, Ravens. How about that, Jackson Dooley? Hits 6'5" Tanner Zimmerman right over the top, and Benedictine goes in for a score, making it a 48-7 lead.
22-yard touchdown pass right there to TZ. It's going to be his second touchdown reception of the afternoon. A 22 there, and earlier on in the ballgame, a 4-yard touchdown reception.
So Benedictine, I love some of the things that they do, like bringing in for blocking on these points, bringing Isaac Anderson in as a blocker. Here we go, the PAT. It's down. It's up. And another one right through the middle. Joseph, we're taking the first time out of the second half at 12:02 to go in the third. It's all Ravens still. Benedictine 49, Culver Stockton 7.
Looking for the ultimate night out? Head to High Voltage Bar and Dance, where the fun never stops. Open late every day of the week. Sundays, join them at 1:30 for bingo. Tuesday nights, get your boots on for free line dance lessons. And don't miss our weekend lineup. Fridays and Saturdays, it's karaoke, a DJ, or a live band bringing the house down. For all the latest updates, check out the High Voltage Facebook page. High Voltage Bar and Dance, 7-Eleven commercial in Atchison, where every night is a good time.
Back out there to put a toe to it for Benedictine. He's got to be exhausted, right? Cullen Bruner kind of kick it away again. And another high, deep kick. And again, this time that return guy at the goal line did watch it fly over his head and go sailing out the back of the end zone. 12:02 to go in the third quarter. Ravens scoring on the first touch of the second half and lead 49-7.
He kind of looked like a Yankee outfielder watching Bobby hit one over his head tonight, right?
What time does it start?
6:30, right?
6:30, okay. So we'll be
able to, we'll be kind of close.
We'll be getting close to home by the time we hear that start. Here comes Culver Stockton. Wildcats, a very brief first possession to begin the second half. Let's see if they can do better with this second possession in the third quarter. Handoff going to the right side and kind of angling to the right to Marion Cobb. It will not be particularly successful. He'll gain a couple 3 yards into the right side. It will bring up a second down call. Give him 2 on the carry. Second down, 8. Culver Stockton around their own 27-yard line. They come back up over pretty quickly. And again, I'm surprised Culver not taking a lot more time between plays. Now a little look over to the near side, and the play clock is still 15 seconds. So they are, they're leaving a lot of time on the board, as they would say. Receivers 3 left, and no, the quarterback is going to fake left, keep it right. Oh, a nice run, and just legging it out to the right side is Drake Day. Ravens are closing in on him. He dumps out of bounds, but he was able to achieve the first down, move the sticks, and that's something that Culver Stockton has not done a lot in the course of this game. So nice job for them. And it is a first down. That is their sixth first down today. First and 10 Wildcats from their own 37-yard line.
Half of those have been by way of the run. Three rushing, two passing, and one by penalty.
This time they run over to the right side, and oh, that was a strong run by Demarion Cobb. One of his better runs of the day, and it's going to be good for five. They're going to give him a good spot, give him a half a dozen yards on a first down carry.
Blake Castillo makes a stop over there for the Ravens. Demarion Cobb, you talk about him rushing the ball today. He's a little over 4 yards of rush, nine carries for 37 yards today.
Benedictine coming into the ballgame today at number 12 in the nation with their 4-1 mark, one of four teams in the heart in the national poll this week. Little wraparound handoff is going to be play action. Pass over the middle. Oh, well placed at the 40, 35. Foot race right side down at 30 and at the 28-yard line. The tackle made. That was a great throw. Drake Day and a strike over the middle to Eli Edmonds out of St. Peter's, Missouri. Now deep in Raven territory. Wildcats at the Raven 27.
Yeah, nice job by Eli Edmonds as he just came from right to left on a little bit of a drag pattern, able to pick up good yardage. Trey Williams finally able to make the stop on it. Eli Edmonds now 3 catches for 56 yards.
Here's the thing for Culver Stockton. They will lose today. Okay? They get a week off next week, like Benedictine and the rest of the conference. Here's a handoff into the middle, and there's just nowhere to go. I mean, there is absolutely no space, no room, no how, no way for Demarion Cobb. Second down 10. But here's the deal. After this week, their schedule softens way up. They will have at St. Ambrose on the 19th, and they've got Graceland, Peru, Penn, and Clark. So, you know, they can go close. Can they get 500 in the last half? Close?
Maybe.
They'll win a couple. Second down call.
That will be a competitive game, the one with them and St. Ambrose here in 2 weeks.
QB's back. Timing pattern, left side. He's got his receiver. A dive at the end zone, incomplete. Looking for Kyle Dixon. He couldn't get to it. And that was good coverage on Eric Jackson. Tell you what, and when you get old Jackson Hoskins on you, you're pretty well covered. He's hard to beat.
Yeah, you start looking at the statistics on the season, you're like, well, Jackson doesn't have many tackles. He only has one interception. It also went for a pick six this season. The reason Hoskins doesn't have very big numbers, nobody's throwing his way this season. When they do, things like that happen. He's able to just bat the ball away at the last minute. It'll bring up now a 3rd and 10 for Culver Stockton.
Wildcats going from right to left across your dial here in the third quarter, trailing Benedictine 49-7. QB with a running back on one side, back to throw, looks right. Going down the field, he's got a man open right at the first down marker, and as the catch is made, the tackle is immediate, and he's held short. What a nice job for Benedictine.
And the blue caplinger on the stop is, if you looked into the backfield, right as Drake Day let go of that football, he got rocked by Jared Heron. He's kind of sitting back there thinking about that one for a moment.
And that immediate tackle leaves Culver Stockton facing a 4th down 2 inside the Benedictine 20 to 19, and they're going to go for it. Looking for the 4th down 2, call inside the 20. Quarterback back to throw again, goes left side, and it's batted away, reaching around Kaplinger, defending again on Gavin Gardner. They threw at blue twice, and he made two outstanding defensive plays. It'll be 1st and 10 Ravens as they will take over the football on downs. And we're at 8:12 to go in the third quarter.
You haven't interviewed Blue Caplinger yet, have you, for a halftime?
I will make that next game.
Because if you do and you get to the superhero question, I'm going to be thoroughly disappointed if it's anybody but Thor.
That's who it's got to be. I'm thinking that.
So now the Ravens are going to have the ball 1st and 10 in what I think is probably the worst starting field position of the day at their own 19-yard line.
Without looking at numbers and stats, I think you're absolutely correct. Certainly from ready memory, that's exactly right, from the 19. And they're going to go with a bit of a reverse. Around to the right side, it's going to be Gathright, 20, Gathright, 30. Gathright, 32-yard line, skipped out of bounds along the near side. Defensively pushed out of bounds over here by Culver Stockton. It'll be a 1st and 10. BC got a nice gain on a 1st down carry. 7:50 and rolling along, as they will say, Jacob does not get out of play, and Benedictine continues to have Jack Sadoulli in running the offense.
Now they're going to have a different running back into the ballgame. It's going to be Derek Overstreet. Look down here at the 21-yard line here on my near side.
Yep.
It's one of the Raven little play sheets.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Okay, I can see it laying out there. I don't know what it is. I can see a piece of trash. Now the quarterback is rolling. Dooley in trouble. Now he's going to keep it, run left, run out of bounds, and he's going to end up picking up about 5 yards running for his life. And I will give kudos to the defender over there who could have, even though he was stepping out of bounds at the time, could have put a big lick on Jackson. He did not do it, did the right thing, and you know, showed some good gamesmanship.
But you start worrying about those kind of things as you get later into a ball game, and especially one this one-sided.
Cameron Dover's on the near side. You've got to be looking for Cameron to get thrown to here, don't you? 6'3". His coverage man is considerably smaller than him, it would appear. And now they're going to have a little sweep to the right side, but not much room for Jay Sean, as Jay Sean did not decide to sprint to the outside edge and turn it up, and instead decided to plant and cut into the middle, and it's only good for a couple of yards. The officials are going to stop playing here for a moment. It's 6:47. I'm not sure exactly why that stop happened. It'll bring up a 3rd down and 3 for Benedictine. Ravens right back up over it, and the clock is back rolling again. Everybody in tight, and the running back will cross the 40, but Gus, it will be short of a first down as the Ravens are going to have Derek Overstreet, the 5'8 junior from Owosso, Texas, running the ball. But he is going to be short. It'll bring up a 4th down and a couple. And Benedictine, an uncommon situation, they will be punting the football away. It'll be the Ravens' 2nd punt of the day. And here comes Cullen. Bruner takes it from a knee and boots it away. That's a really nice kick.
Yeah, man, he was down, right?
Well, I think so.
Yeah, he was. Yep, he went down and caught it on a knee. It's going to be a turnover right there.
So Bruner gets away what looked like a great punt, but took it on a knee, and that means he's down there. And so for Culver Stockton, here is maybe this may be the opportunity they were looking for. That big play, that big turnover, that big, you know, getting the football back in fantastic field position. They're going to begin this drive, 1st and 10, at the Benedictine 27-yard line. And
about needing something to break your way, and that was just it right there for Culver Stockton. Benedictine on that last possession started with their worst starting field position of the game. Now Culver Stockton starting with their best starting field position.
Here comes a 1st and 10. Little wraparound handoff. Running back goes to the right side. It's going to be Jaden Neal. Look at him go. To 20, down to the 15, down to the 12-yard line. 1st and 10, Culver Stockton on a 15-yard carry for the 5'9 junior out of Belleville, Illinois. Last week, 6 carries for 32. But Kyle Gibson makes the Benedictine tackle, and Culver very, very quickly back up over the top of the football. Here come the Wildcats. Trips left. No one, now they're going to sneak one receiver, Eli Edmonds, over to the right side, which is the short side of the field. The running back in the backfield is going to be Jaden Neal. They had Demarion Cobb for a while. They had Nick Jarrett for a minute, but now they're to Jaden Neal, the 3 running back. Neal has 72 yards on the year. Quarterback draw, nothing.
That time trying to run the quarterback draw, but right there was Kevin Harris, the big defensive tackle. Already has a sack this afternoon. That time he's going to get a TFL. A loss of 2 on the play. It'll bring up now a 2nd and 12 for the Culver Stockton offense with 5 minutes left here in the 3rd quarter.
Here comes CSC. Culver in, unusually I think for them, probably their black jersey, blue helmets and blue pants with white lettering and trim. Benedictine, red jerseys, black helmets, black pants, white lettering and trim. 2nd down and a dozen at the Benedictine 15-yard line. Culver Stockton threatening. QB's back, hands off. Jaden Neal goes right side, gets to the edge, bends it down to the 10-yard line, picks up 5. It'll bring up a 3rd down, 7.
That time for the Ravens able to just string the play out, get it to the sideline. Kyle Gibson making another stop on the play for this Ravens defense. Peyton Joby, a freshman, or redshirt freshman at Pleasant Hill, also in on the stop.
3rd down at the Raven 10-yard line. 3rd down and 7, 4:15. 3rd quarter's moved pretty quickly, hasn't it? Not a lot of scoring. Ball's largely stayed on the ground. And now the play clock is down to single digits, and Culver Stockton still turned around looking at head coach Sally and offensive coordinator Melton on the near side. Play clock at 2 at 1, and there's the snap. QB looks left, throws left, deep in the back of the end zone, and it's broken up and incomplete. Penalty marker thrown, and the Ravens are going to be called for a PI.
Well, I didn't see that really.
I didn't either.
That's right down here in front of us, too. Kyle Rowland is going to be the Raven that's going to be guilty of that pass interference call.
So, yeah, this is going to be a tough break for Benedictin here.
Since it was in the end zone, by rule, the ball would be placed at the 2-yard line and it would be first and goal for Culver Stockton. This would be their first and goal to go situation of the afternoon.
So Benedictin leading it, because after 35 opening quarter points, the Ravens have managed only 7 in the second quarter and 7 so far here in the third quarter. We're down to 3:50 to play in the third. Culver Stockton first and goal. Handoff, running back, hits, bounces, stretches, the ball pops out, and they're going to say it was down at the 1. I thought this was going to be a 101-yard return. Honest to goodness, I thought it. It had popped out, rolled into the end zone, was scooped up down there by Benedictin, and for just a minute, okay, just a minute, I thought it was going to be Isaiah Haston getting a second score 2 weeks defensively. Instead, they're going to say down at the 1-yard line. So for Culver, it'll bring up a second and goal 1 yard out. Looking for the second TD of the day, quarterback Drake Day. We'll move Jaden Neal over to the left, and we're going to get a timeout, and it is going to be taken by, I have no idea.
I think it's going to be taken by Benedictin. Is their coaching staff quickly out on the field? You want to just keep it here for this?
Yeah, let's do that, Joseph.
They saw emotion. They thought they had shifted one way, and the coaching staff utilized the timeout because I don't think they exactly agreed with where the shift happened. And so Benedictin, just going to talk about things with 3:10 left here in this third quarter, a third quarter that's seen 7 points.
Well, so far here this afternoon, Jackson Dooley's numbers are still really good, but not like they were early in the afternoon. 17-24 throwing the ball, 227 and 3 touchdowns. Dalton Witherspoon, who has not touched the ball in the second half, 70 first half yards with 1 touchdown along of 28 yards, because anytime you can average 10 a carry, pretty good. Robbie Sharp, who's been in there since, averaging 7.3 on 51 yards on 7 carries.
Well, if you take away the first quarter right now, where Benedictin scored 35 first quarter points, it is 14-7 since that first quarter.
No question about it, neck and neck. Second down and goal from the 1 for Culver Stockton. Eli Edmonds very wide to the right side. The only guy way out of the pattern. Drake Day having a conversation now with Jaden Neal. I think they're a little confused where he wanted him to be. Now Neal will come motion. Quarterback will keep the ball himself. He's going to walk untouched into the end zone. Touchdown and a late, late penalty coming in from the offensive backfield. Is there a hold in there?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like
gotta be.
You look out there, Isaac Anderson is laying on the ground, and you got a big offensive lineman holding under his back. So, got to turn his mic off.
Okay, he can't get his work.
So it is a holding against Culver Stockton, and it is 69, Mason Hike, the sophomore out of Clearwater. How about that? Mason, 6'7". 320 working against 5'9 Isaac Anderson. You want to know why Isaac works so well on that defensive line? At 5'9, he can get way under the 6'7 offensive lineman.
And he's so much quicker.
Yep, this is tough for those guys to block down on him.
Now the ball moved back to the 11-yard line where it'll become a second down goal. 3:06 to go in the third quarter. Clock ticking along here. Culver Stockton hoping to get a third quarter score. QB's back, lobs one, the timing pattern deep to the back of the end zone. And I'll tell you what, while the intended receiver, Elian Sundquist, was down there, because Peyton Joby, a guy we have not seen a ton yet, a redshirt freshman, what he did was position himself perfectly and did not let the receiver get to the ball. He just
that got in his way.
Got right in front of him, kind of slow played it, kept looking at the football, so he was making a play at the football. Great job right there by the redshirt freshman out of Pleasant Hill. Third down to go at the 11. Yes, Culver Stockton's in four down territory, just so you're aware. Third down, and again, the long look over to the near side, and again, the play clock is at 7 and 6 and 5, and CSC's taking all the time they can. Game clock's not running, coming off that incompletion. They're going to run the same play, the fade into the corner of the end zone, batted away! Knocked out of the hands of the intended receiver by Trey Williams.
That time they were looking over there for Eli Edmonds trying to use his 6'4" frame. But good job by Trey Williams, the sophomore out of Lake Forest, California, to knock it away at the last minute. Now the Ravens going to make a substitution. They're going to bring Kevin Harris in along the front line.
Interestingly, you're going to be at a receiver in for Culver Stockton and redshirt freshman Hunter Hester. Now Hunter, 160 pounds out of Baldwin, Mississippi, got 2 catches for 3 yards on the year, and he is listed at 5'9". I'm just saying that's what he's listed at. Fourth down and goal at the 11. Back to throw. Culver, Beebe, over the middle, and it bounces off the helmet of the tight end, Thomas Shue. Just defended well by Abram Phillips. Shue never saw that pass coming. Literally hits him in the head. And it kind of spun around like a beanie propeller and then falls to the ground.
If there was a possession that defined the day for Culver Stockton, it was that one, right? You had a short field. You had a first and goal at the 2. And you have a turnover on downs at the 11. Right? I mean, that has just been the day for the Wildcats.
And Benedictine will come out over the football, and Jackson Dooley will run the Raven Ball Club. Got to tell you, no question, you know, I have expected maybe the Ravens to check out the depth of the quarterback spot with this 49-7 lead, but not yet. Jackson is QB in the club. He will hand off to his running back and working his way over to the left side, picking up maybe a couple of yards and a very late penalty coming into play. Running the ball is going to be Robbie Sharp.
This penalty came in right at the end, and
it came from way downfield.
Yeah, I'm not so sure it's not maybe even a face mask. I mean, the way Robbie went into the middle and then just kind of got stopped. He was shaking his head around afterwards.
You think he's got the microphone working?
Yeah. Here
we go.
There you have it. You were spot on that one, guys. Good nap. 2.5 to go in the third quarter. That long penalty will advance the football for Benedictine to the Raven 28-yard line, where leading 49-7, Benedictine is looking at a first and a 10. Dueling your quarterback with 3 receivers, and again, it is 5'8" sophomore Robbie Sharp in the backfield. BC going to take a timeout here. Interesting call. Taking a break, Joseph. 2.5 to go in the third. It's all Ravens here at 49-7.
You shouldn't have to choose between the conveniences you need and that small-town feel you want in your banking experience. That's why there's Union State Bank of Atchison. They're passionate about community, and that means offering their customers the technology and tools they need to do banking their way. With options like online and mobile banking, plus My Rewards Checking and Real Saver, you get everything that big national banks offer, but with everything you love about a community bank. Visit one of their 8 locations and learn why Union State Bank is proud to be your community bank. NMLS number 654946, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
We're today's hit country from KAIR-FM, Horton Atchison.
It's the only radio station we agree on.
We love the music.
Today's hit country, Hot Country 93.7.
Here we go. Ravens having taken the time out. Let's see what they've put together on the far sideline across the way. First down, 10, Colin. And again, the handoff to the running back, who he'll just angle and kind of slant over to the left side, work his way out of bounds, getting out of play into the Ravens sideline, about a yard or so short of the first down, but beyond the 35-yard line. Let's call it the 36 and a 2nd and 2. You know what, Robbie Sharp, guys, not the biggest guy in the world, but he's got a nice combination of the toughness and speed. You know, a lot of guys are maybe one or the other, but Robbie's got a lot of both of that happening. 2 minutes to go in the third quarter.
This time Dooley is back to throw, and he's just winding up. He's throwing it deep. He's putting all he's got in it, and it's going to be caught. Gats right all the way to the 10-yard line. First and goal, Benedictine. Jacob Gathright makes the catch. And for Benedictine, a 60-yard pass.
What a job right there by Jacob Gathright. He found the ball, was able to come back, fight through two defenders, make the reception at the 10-yard line. That'll be first and goal, Ravens there with 90 seconds left here in the first quarter, or third quarter.
And here's the cool part. You can see Jackson. He saw what was happening. He knew what he was trying to do. He dropped back and just wound up, and you can see he just threw it probably as hard as he could. And just lopped it up in the air and let his guy get underneath it first and goal. And here Sharp goes left, cuts back into the five, still driving down to the 4-yard line. Second and goal, Benedictine. We're at a minute to go in the third quarter. Ravens are threatening now.
Ravens have R.J. Brewster in the ballgame, a receiver, a 6-foot senior out of Atlanta.
Now, is BC bringing in a little play from the sideline? I'm seeing a couple of guys going out. I see LeBron checking out. Is that Jacob also coming out? No, that's going to be Robbie checking out.
So Jay Sean's going to be the lone back.
There we go. Jay Sean in the backfield. Love to see the ball in his hands because he's like magic with that thing. Second and goal. It will be handed to Todd, who spins and twists, and he's going to be stopped short of the goal line of the one.
Should have been hit in the backfield for a loss of three. Somehow he spins, shoots forward, gets near the goal line. It's going to be third and goal, and the Ravens can hold this to the fourth if they wanted to.
We'll slow it down here for just a second and see if Benedictine tries to hurry and get the snap away. They're at three, at two, and one, and they will get the snap. And here's a run to the right side, hit at the goal line, and stopped short, and we will switch into the field and move 98 yards to the south end as we get set for the fourth quarter. When we return, it'll be fourth and goal, Benedictine at the one. But right now, after three quarters, it's the Benedictine Ravens 49, Culver Stockton 7.
Natty Pine Oil is proud to announce the pumps are now open on Old 75 south of Holton. Member agreements are available in the office. The pumps are accessible 24/7, offering premium 91 octane, 87 octane with ethanol, diet and clear diesel, as well as DEF. Natty Pine is back to their old roots as 82 years later, they honor what Grandpa Fletcher started. Visit them anytime for high quality fuel products and enjoy the convenience of the new location just south of Holton on Old 75 Highway.
I can hear that music and that transition goes, and I can just see, imagine in my mind's eye Joseph, you know, working the air guitar. As he, you know, goes around to Care Radio Studios, got a necktie tied around his forehead, you know, and I'm just kind of get that vibe. Welcome back, everybody, to Canton, Missouri. We're going to the fourth quarter this afternoon. It's Benedictine football game and the Ravens looking to notch a win on the road here today. They take a 49-7 lead into the fourth quarter. Joseph, our producer and engineer, guy handling the hard work in the Care Sports Studio. Gus with me here upstairs, Tom Counts, and here comes the Raven offense. Gus, what do you call? It's fourth down and one. You like to just, like, show your muscle here, right? Flex and punch this thing in.
Yeah, I think this is the one where you're going to have Court Madsen, who's into the ballgame now, and you have Court or you have Tyler Watson. Just go in motion and push the quarterback into the end zone.
Here we go. They're going for the full house tee. Motion left, motion right. Now into the middle. Quarterback rides the surge. And it's safe. Don't they call it the brotherly shove?
Yeah, kind of the same thing, right? Again, we just talked about it. Send a man in motion and push the quarterback into the end zone. Now the Ravens have an offensive lineman a little slow to get up, but now he gets to his feet, and here comes the point after unit.
Yeah, you got about 1,000, 1,200 pound of guys laying off top of you. So it takes a little bit to kind of get your wits together, but Benedictine stretches its lead down to 55-7, and here comes the point after effort by Harry Balke.
Harry, as he typically is perfect on the afternoon with those PATs. Thank you so much. This one is on its way. He'll knock it down, and we're taking a break. With 14:57 to play in the ballgame here this afternoon, it's now Ravens 56, Culver Stockton 7.
Hi, this is Dr. Curtis Kincannon with Atchison Animal Clinic, where we provide efficient, top-notch veterinary medicine in a comfortable and safe environment for both animals and owners. But that's not all. We also offer grooming services and a selection of recommended pet foods from Hill's Science Diet and Royal Canin. Come visit us at 1401 U.S. Highway 59 or check us out at AtchisonAnimalClinic.com to schedule an appointment today. Atchison Animal Clinic, where service, satisfaction, and animal health meet.
Hey, so come back. Ravens getting set to boot the football away once again. Just underway in the fourth quarter. As BC has stretched his lead to 56-7. Punter and kickoff specialist Cullen Bruner gets that one. That's a really short kick, bounding at the 15. Taken by Culver at the 20 and out of bounds at the 23-yard line. It'll be Wildcat football from there. Ravens coming down on kick coverage, and here comes the Wildcat offense.
Kick coverage unit tackle provided by Isaac Lopez, a junior linebacker out of Jeff City.
Let's see if we're going to have to be going to the programs pretty soon or if these are also going to be names with which we are pretty familiar. We'll see how it shakes out. For Culver Stockton, it's going to be familiar names like quarterback Drake Day, the senior. Running the club, motion to the left side. He'll flare it over to the left, just a forward pass, 25, 30. And right at the first down marker goes Kyle Dixon, where the 6'4 sophomore is going to be spun down to the ground by Ben Gilliland. Dixon, we've heard so little out of him today, Gus, and yet coming into the ball game this afternoon, the number one receiver for Culver Stockton. And last week, 10 catches for 81 and a touchdown. And he will have it up for a first and 10 here. The ball advanced to the Culver 33-yard line. Here come the Wildcats offense. Eli Edmonds. I like the way he runs. I like the length he brings to the game at 6'4". He's going to come wide to the right side, and the handoff will go into the middle, and we'll have a new running back in the game for Culver Stockton. Well, I say new to the second half. We had not seen Kyota Sitoyama in the second half, the 5'10" redshirt junior out of St. Louis. He'll carry that one for about 4 yards straight into the middle of the Raven defense and without a huddle on a second down 6, Culver's right back over the football. 13:45 and rolling along in the fourth quarter, Benedictine with an impressive 49-point lead. They're warming up the buses. They're getting that pizza order delivered. Going to be a happy ride home. This last quarter could make it happier for some guys, though. We'll see how that shakes out. QB on the run, little sidearm throw that's well out of reach for Eli Edmonds, who is racing to the near sideline. But by the time the pass had arrived, both Edmonds and the ball were well out of bounds.
Yeah, Kyle Rowland in coverage for the Ravens, and he gets up, and he's kind of favoring that leg a little bit.
So Benedictine has gotten a couple of bumps and bruises. Now I'm just kind of scanning across on the BC sideline, and I'm seeing some guys who I don't know. Do they know something that we're not aware of? Or are they just warming up just in case they get called to come into the game? Because I see a lot of guys throwing the ball, doing some high-step jogging over there like they're stretching out, warming up. And well, we'll hope the best for them as we're going to get a timeout taken by CSC. Joseph, a break. 13:26 left here this afternoon. Benedictine 56, Culver Stockton 7.
Kick off the new season with a visit to an old friend, Mueller's Locker Room. Since 1988, Mueller's has been Atchison's original sports bar and grill, serving up great food, cold beer, and all your favorite spirits. Whether you're hanging out in the dugout or relaxing on the deck, Mueller's is the place to be. Locally owned and operated, it's been the hot spot for good times for over 30 years. Mueller's Locker Room, 120 South 2nd in Atchison, your sports bar for all seasons.
We'll be right back.
All right, 13:26 to go in the game. And Benedictine, because you're running the math, and I'm like looking and thinking you're exactly right. The Ravens have just used their final timeout of the game.
Yeah, the Ravens with 13:26 left have now used their final timeout of the ball game, and Culver Stockton does have all three of theirs remaining.
Culver's back to throw. Quarterback steps up. He's hit. Now a little one-handed push pass, and it's going to be complete to the 40, 50, Raven 40, racing down the right sideline. Culver Stockton moves the ball into Benedictine territory, and it is Sito Yama with the catch and carry. And Justin's great day was literally going to the ground. He just kind of shot puts that ball forward and into Quito's hands. First and 10, Culver Stockton to the Raven 41.
Okay, I'm going to just go out on my limb. This isn't going to be the most one-sided game in the conference.
It is not. Okay. The Ravens are going to bring in a trio of fresh defensive linemen. Giving Culver Stockton a different look. Quarterback is going to go back to the right side. It's run around. It should have been intercepted, but the defender snoozing. The ball in and out of the hands of the receiver, and because it literally hit the Raven secondary player in the number.
Yeah, the number. That time the cornerback looked up and that ball like hit him right in the middle of the chest and falls incomplete. It's going to bring up a second down. Game's going on around the conference with 2 minutes left in the third quarter. It is Grandview 68, Clark scoreless. Missouri Baptist and Central Methodist tied at 14.5. We'll catch the rest of them after this play.
Drake Davis back to throw. He's going deep down the right sideline. And again, looking for Eli Edmonds. You can see who his favorite receiver is. And I can certainly understand why, because Edmonds has got that length we keep talking about this afternoon. But again, the pass, as we've seen so many times from the quarterbacks this afternoon, is too long and too far, is uncatchable, and it's incomplete third down.
Other games going on around the conference with 2.5 minutes left in the second quarter. Mid-America leads William Woods 35-7. With a minute 21 left in the first half, it's Missouri Valley 16, Baker 3. And Peru State has jumped out to a 7-0 lead on Graceland, and we're only 30 seconds into that.
Hakeem Williams, freshman from Vienna, Georgia, is wide right. QB's looking for him. Now throws near side. It's going to be caught and tackled instantly. I am not certain if there was any gain on that play. It was very, very well defended over there by Joe Gaines.
Sure there was. There was Joe Gaines on the play.
Joe Gaines. No yards gains, but Joe Gaines with the stop. It'll bring up a, fourth down and 11. Yeah.
Ravens are racing a defender on late. That's going to be Blake Dapkis. He's going to be he's normally a cornerback. They've kind of got him lined up as an outside linebacker right now.
And for Culver, with no reason not to, at the Raven 43, they're going to go for it on this fourth down 11 call. Quarterback back to throw. Day looks right. Now steps left. He's got room to run, and he will, get a block, pick up the first down, and more inside the 30, down to the 20-yard line. The Ravens had really dropped back and had put on pressure, and once he had a little daylight, there was acres of green in front of him. A nice run and a good decision by Drake Day.
Well, and what really set that up is they did trips to the right side and had nobody on the left side. Well, the Ravens, of course, have all your defenders over there on the right. Everybody look to the right, nobody on that backside. Great play right there by Drake Den.
First and 10, Culver Stockton with 11:20 to go in the ball game. CSC with one score this afternoon. Looking to double that with this possession. And Demarion Cobb back in at running back spot. He'll stay in a block pass over the middle. It's going to be caught at the 5-yard line. That was a well-thrown ball, and Gus, what I like about it, it was right in front of a diving receiver who goes headlong, a Durand Abston, who last week, one catch, 17 yards and a touchdown. That is his only catch of the season. That was his second catch of the year right there.
Well, that time he was working against Blake Dapkis, and Dapkis had perfect coverage.
This time the handoff is going to go to the running back, and Cobb is stood up, and helmets fly at the point of tackle, and it's going to be short of the end zone, and it will bring up a second end goal for Culver Stockton. One of the Raven defensive players had his helmet dislodged, and one of his teammates runs halfway across the field and recovers the thing. And it will be Culver Stockton's second and goal. Let's call this the 2-yard line.
Dixon to the left, and now he's going to slide back in again. He'll be just a step off, a couple of wings over on the edge, motion to the left, they overload the left, and they'll throw it to the right. The fade in the corner is too long and incomplete. No, they're going to say, got a foot down, touchdown. I thought it was well too long. Gus, you've got to look like, yeah, you're not buying it like I'm not.
Yeah, I didn't think there was any way he got a foot down on that play.
See, I think he got it on the white, and I think the official thinks the white was in play when the white is out.
So we're going to get a let's call it a 3-yard touchdown pass right there to Eli Edmonds off the arm of Drake Day. And now you're going to see the PAT.
Well, a tough break for the Ravens. Not that it's really going to matter in the great scheme of things here today. Point after, it's up and in. We're taking a break here in Canton. Timeout with just over 10 minutes to go in the game. 10:03 on the scoreboard clock. Benedictine 57, Culver Stockton 14.
Ta-da! For our next trick, Taco John's will turn your dollar into deliciousness with our BOGO for a Buck menu. Buy an item from our BOGO menu and presto taco! Look, a tasty taco bravo for just a buck. Alaca burrito! There, now it's a classic meat and potato burrito for a buck. That's one talented dollar. Try this BOGO for a Buck menu trick for yourself at your nearest Taco John's. Download our app, earn free food.
Okay, I think they got the scoreboard fixed. We've been bouncing it around a little bit, but 56-14 is the Raven lead with 10:03 to go this afternoon. That was an 11-play, 77-yard drive for Culver Stockton. So that turned into a pretty good series for CSC, and there were two really pivotal plays, the fourth down carry by quarterback Drake Day that got over 10 yards and picked up the first down, and then that pass to the deep corner of the end zone that really looked like it was beyond the field of play that the official on the spot. He had perfect position to see it, so give him that. And he calls it a touchdown, and the kickoff is away. It is short, and Benedict will take it on the hop at the 15. Up the right hash marks to the 25 and close to the 35-yard line where the tackle's made, and Benedict then is going to put his offense back out of the field. First and 10, Ravens just inside 10 to go in the game. Returned by Matthew Sanford for BC. Here comes Benedictin. And it is going to be Caden Austin quarterbacking Benedictin. Caden Austin is out there, and because I need a BC roster because all these things I got. Oh, didn't have one. Here's a hand up to the running back who just tries to run, tries to make a turn. The feet just shoot out from beneath, and Derek Overstreet is probably going to lose a few yards. Derek looked really frustrated with that. He thought he was going to make a really, really good cut, and instead he just fell down. So it will bring up for Benedictin, second down 13. Ravens at their own 32-yard line. 9:20 to play. Now we're going to get a tackle in motion to the left side. And the handoff to Overstreet, hit at the line of scrimmage, and then the defender missed him. Overstreet thought he was going to get hit and fell down. So there will be a gain maybe close to that original line of scrimmage. Let's call it the third down 10. Derek Overstreet out of Owosso, Oklahoma. Listed as a 5'8" running back. Oh, that's going to be easier. Thank you. I'll just trade you out of that. And here we go into the right side of the line, and the Ravens are going to take it up to the 40-yard line. So back-to-back-to-back running plays, net, you know, 5 yards, and the Ravens are going to have fourth down and 5, and they took about a minute, a little over, not much more, off the clock. And the offense, no teeth there. 56-14, Benedictine.
Now, I know today could get better, but the Ravens are going to get a win.
They are.
Baker is losing.
Oh, is that right?
And Missouri gets thumped today by Texas A&M. So, again, my day has started off pretty well. Fourth down. BC from their own 40-yard line punting the football away. Bruner blocked.
Blocked and knocked away at the 20. Bruner can't even find it. He's standing there spinning around looking skyward. The ball is running around near the goal line. The official says it is going to be down inside the one-yard line. And the Ravens guys kind of coming apart at the seams here in the second half and certainly here in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they're just kind of losing a little focus right now.
If I'm a coach, that really, really frustrates me because I thought I had my team better prepared and better drilled and with higher expectations than that.
Yeah, it maybe changes the way you approach next week, right? Because being off week, you went from being able to maybe have a couple extra days off to you'll probably still have some days off, but you're also going to probably have some harder days than you anticipated. Now it's going to be first and goal for Culver Stockton. The ball's going to be nose up to the goal line.
Wildcats are going to make this game look much more respectable as a handoff to the running back, and he is going to be stood up and will not pick up that half yard. So there's just nowhere to go in the middle for Culver Stockton and at Demarion Cobb. And they'll bring up a second goal still inside the one-yard line. 7:40 to go. Yeah, for Benedictine, you know, if you're the staff, you got to be going, no, this is not what I had in mind. Now we're going to get a Culver timeout, and let's take it, Joseph. Taking a break, midpoint of the fourth quarter. Timeout on the field, Benedictine 56, Culver Stockton 14.
Atchison Auto Parts is your locally owned and operated independent Napa dealer. With a team of experienced employees that have a lifelong passion for the auto industry, they provide top quality parts and exceptional service. They are all car guys who care about getting you the right parts. And with locations in Leavenworth and Smithville, they can get that part same day if not on their shelves. Open 8 to 6 Monday through Saturday and 9 to 3 on Sunday. Atchison Auto Parts, 424 Woodlawn Avenue in Atchison.
Well, we're getting the timeout taken to attend to a Raven player who's shaking up a little bit down at the goal line. So they will. He'll get to his feet, and he's walking off under his own power. They will attend to him on the far sideline. And for Culver Stockton of all, I mean, here we are halfway, you know, 50 yards away from the goal line where we're perched here, Gus, but I can't see any daylight between the nose of the football and the goal line. That's how close it is. I mean, it is right there, and yet not in.
As the day has progressed, the wind has really picked up. Look at that flag down there.
Oh, yeah. No question about it. Here we go. Quarterback is up under center, and a handoff, and driving and pushing, and they're not getting in again on second down.
So the answer right here is just go under center and do what the Ravens did, right? Have somebody help usher you into the end zone right here. 7 minutes left in the game.
We'll see what happens now on a third down to go. Yeah, you've got, I think, the right idea here. And certainly you're going to try this two more times, right? Because you're not looking for field goals here trailing by 40-plus. Quarterback will keep it himself, will hurdle into the end zone, touchdown. So Culver Stockton and Drake Day will go in at 6:40 to play in the game. And Culver, again, because they're going to make the score look a whole lot better. 40 years from now, when we're going down through these lists of scores like we were doing this morning from games from 40 years ago, you're going to look at this and you're going to go, yeah, you know what, 50-21. Yeah, we won it pretty handily, but it would have looked different if it was 56-7. Last time Benedictine lost over here was a while ago. I think we were both younger. All right, we're gonna tell a story. We got a great story about the last time that Benedictine did not win against Culver Stockton. Unsportsmanlike conduct, Culver Stockton. So this PAT has been held up, and now a penalty marker that I did not see on the ground. The penalty will go against Culver Stockton on the ensuing kickoff, and we're still waiting for the point after. Culver's going to be
kicking this thing, and the kicker, freshman Garrett Kelly, in there to kick. And it is up and right there. And the officials step up in the middle of the fray, which is literally a fray, and we'll watch it unfold as we take a break. 6:40 to go in the ball game. Benedictine 56, Culver Stockton 21.
Craving something fresh? Head to Subway in Atchison. From the classic subs you love to fresh salads, wraps, and breakfast options, there's something for everyone. And don't forget to treat yourself with a foot-long churro or soft pretzel, perfect for a snack or with your meal. Subway, eat fresh. Conveniently located under the Fifth Street Viaduct in Atchison.
Here in Ellison Poland Stadium on the campus of Culver Stockton College in Canton, Missouri, where Benedictine, with 6:40 to go in the ballgame, leads it 56-21. Gus, what's the number? What's this going to be? I could tell you pretty close, but I'm looking for a precise number, if you can. The last, how many consecutive wins?
Ooh.
Benedictine has won 34 consecutive games.
Okay, so today would be 35.
This will be the 35th consecutive victory that Benedictine has over Culver Stockton. The Ravens lost the first two games, 73-74. I was not around the 73 game, but I can tell you the 74 game, okay? Freshman year. Benedictine loses that game, hasn't lost since, and in the game that they lost, okay, it's 74, when it was 18-0, Benedictine, now, you got to think about this. Let this soak in. In that 1974 game that the Ravens lost 18-0, Benedictine held Culver Stockton to negative yards.
What was it?
So you're like, how did I get 18? They had two defensive.
Right, it was a defensive touchdown, a special teams touchdown.
Uh-huh, and a field goal.
And a field goal.
Off a turnover. That is how they got their 18. So there you have it. They held them to negative yards and did not win the game. And since then, they have not lost. The Ravens have won from 1975 forward over Culver Stockton, and today will be the 35th consecutive win. Ravens bringing that kickoff that was kicked from a little deeper than usual because of the penalty. And they bring it out to the 35, and here's a handoff going right side across the 40 to the 42, 43-yard line. Ravens looking to move the football a little bit. And
J.J. Jackson,
yeah,
the freshman receiver, right, or running back right there, 5'9", 170 out of Chula Vista, California.
So, Benedictine, we're playing this. Just by the way, folks, we've got all kinds of boards. We've got all kinds of information, but we're using the programs now because the Ravens, with 6 minutes and 14 seconds to go, have moved deep into the roster, and now a Culver Stockton player is slow to climb to his feet. That is bringing a little pause into play, but we'll be right back after this. The conference, because I think, and I didn't look at, I will candidly admit, I didn't look at everybody's schedule, but I looked at a few schedules. I think, doesn't everybody have the week off next week?
Yes, everybody's off. Well, I say that. There's like one game that's an out-of-conference game.
Okay. So no conference games next week in the Heart of America Athletic Conference is basically get that mid-season bye week.
You're right. It is everybody off, and then we have a Thursday game on the 17th.
Here's a handoff on a little misdirection play, straight up, 45, cross the midfield. That was a nice little jitterbug kind of a run for Benedictine by J.J. Jackson. First to 10 Ravens across midfield at the Culver Stockton 47-yard line. Now what you expect Benedictine to do is to do this. Let some of these young guys get out there and get some PT. You got checking into the game, Trey Bexton, redshirt freshman tight end out of Jeff City, out of a school named Helias High School. I have good friends with their family going to Helias. Here's a hand off the running back, bounces outside, but there's no escape for JJ, and he's going to be tackled along the line of scrimmage. What we're not going to see against is Benedictine, and I don't think, throw in the ball very much. Maybe on a third, maybe on a fourth down, I don't know. But we're not going to see them just exactly dropping back and airing these things out, I don't suppose, with now 5 minutes to play in a 35-point lead. Play clock's at 20, and the Ravens are going to be very generous with how much time they use. Ethan Perot goes wide to the right side. It is a second down 10 call for Benedictine. Quarterback Caden Austin runs the club. And again, he's going to wrap around handoff. That was a nice little upfield block. JJ is going to work his way to the left side following that block around the edge. And it'll be a gain inside the 45-yard line, getting close to the 40. Really like the Cameron Dover block here on the near side, the sophomore wide receiver.
They also got behind over here on this left side playing left tackle right now. It's going to be 53, Jefferson Otter. Otter is 6'2", offensive lineman out of Norton, Kansas.
4 minutes to go in the game. You been to Norton?
Try not to.
Okay. QB's rolling. And now he's going to tuck it, run upfield, spin, and get close to the first down. Let me tell you what was inherently difficult about that play. What you got to understand and realize, guys, is Caden Austin, it's left-handed quarterback. Okay? What was he doing? He was rolling to the right. He was kind of pumping with that left hand. You understand the increased level of difficulty that ensues rolling away from your throwing hand. And so he was just never able to really unload that thing. But he did pick up a first down with the running effort, and the Ravens are going to keep the drive alive. They're at the Culver Stockton 37-yard line, down to 3 minutes to play.
On the way home, if we forget to turn in 7.5 hours, we could be in Norton.
Yeah, that's what it would take. He's hanging up right side. JJ to the 30. JJ with a first down. JJ inside the 25-yard line. Look at that young man running hard. It's at the 24 first down.
Nice little run right there by J.J. Jackson.
How many hours?
7.5.
7.5 of the worst hours you ever spent. First and 10 for Benedictine.
I've been to Dubuque.
Yeah, well,
the Ravens going to bring in a new receiver over there to the right side. It's going to be R.J. Brewster. So the Ravens taking a lot of time looking down at their wristbands, 10 on the play clock.
They're going to shift over to the right side. Court Matson's back out there. Hand off, and J.J.'s just going to pound into the middle. Now, here's the thing. I don't think J.J. is like your typical pound it into the middle kind of a guy. Again, he's not really massive. He's got great speed. He's a guy who probably needs a little bit of daylight. He is a 5'9" freshman, 170 pounds out of Mater Dick College or High School.
Good.
And we're going to get a timeout here.
2 minutes.
Oh, that's right. It's the 2 minute timeout. Joseph, we're taking a break with 2 minutes to go in Canton. The Ravens, 56, Culver Stockton, 21.
Fall is tailgating season, and before you head out to cheer on your team, stop by Huntley Liquor. Whether you're grilling, chilling, or celebrating that big win, we've got the drinks to keep your tailgate going strong. Choose from a wide selection of domestic and imported beers, fine wines, and premium spirits to make your tailgate a hit. Hunley Liquor, 119 South 9th Street in Atchison. Hometown friendly, hometown helpful. That's Hunley Liquor.
Come back, and good to have you along with us this afternoon. Canton, Missouri, the very northeasternmost corner of the Show Me State, just south. Next city north of here is Keokuk, Iowa. So we're just about as far north as you can get in Missouri. 2 minutes to go in the ball game. Ravens with a commanding lead, and the quarterback will roll left, throw left, hits his tight end, who was submarine. That was a very nice defensive play. And in all candor, Trey Bexton is a little disappointed that he was not able to maintain his balance and advance that ball further. And again, Trey out of Helias High School, Jeff City, Missouri, 6'1" freshman.
So the Ravens trying to utilize a little time here, 20 on the play clock, a minute and a half left in the contest.
Yeah, what do you got? Two more plays, three tops, but maybe a couple.
What I'd like to see right here, you're looking at like this third and four. Pop up and throw it to a court.
Really? That, or they brought R.J. Brewster in for the same reason. Matson to the right side, Brewster to the left. But instead they're going to hand off to a little running back. He's going to be hit in the backfield somehow. Is going to be able to
pick up two?
Yeah, yeah. He's able to kind of split the defenders and move forward. It'll bring up a fourth down. Benedictine with a minute to play. Ravens at the 16-yard line. And 4BC, fourth down is your call. Court Matson will check out. Brewster will go wide to the right side. BC is going to go wide to the left with Cameron Dover.
Okay, hold on. Officials had spotted the ball down right at the 40 seconds, which meant Benedictine would have to snap the ball, but there was only 2 seconds difference.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're talking about this because I feel like there should be about 10 more seconds on that. Not that it matters.
Hey, if you're going to do it, you're going to do it right. How many? That's a whole lot more. It's like 15 seconds more.
57?
Yeah, he put 20 back on it. All right.
He originally said 53, and now I think he wants 57.
5-7 is what he wants up there. There we go. All right, fourth down to 2 for Benedictine. So, Ravens have it at the 16-yard line. And here comes quarterback Cade Austin. We've got movement and Culver Stockton pointing at the Raven offensive line, and they're probably pointing right. Fisher's going to step up here and false start.
Sometimes the mic works, sometimes it doesn't. But the only problem with the false start is that it will stop the clock. 50 seconds left here in the contest.
So we got a couple of plays. Couple of plays to go. Culver Stockton, look at them. What are they doing here? We're going 34 defense, like, you know, it's a pretty deep cover going on here. Three on the D line. Four or five across the middle.
Hey, you're just going stack 34, and then you've got those corners walked in.
Quarterback is going to fake the pitch, keep it himself, going to get buried. He's not going to gain anything. Fourth down, 7.
Cade Austin is not exactly fleet of foot, okay?
Not his forte, not his long suit. However, we're going to see an offensive play or two by the Wildcats. 43 seconds left in the ball game, and Benedictine. Durham's got to feel pretty good at 5-1 this point in the season. If you had told Coach Osborne, we'd like to play this game. If you had told Coach Osborne, oh, Coach, you know, 6 games in, and by the way, at 6 games in, can you believe we're halfway through the season? That's a little crazy.
Ridiculous.
6 games in, with the schedule they played, you know, that kind of figured into the equation. Are you taking 5-1? You know, probably. I don't know. There's going to be an offside penalty by Culver. You know, every coach says, no, we should be undefeated. And I'm totally buy into that. I get that. But, you know, 5-1, that's not bad.
Yeah, you'll take 5-1. You know, you had the exciting week 1 victory against Morningside. You're going to look back at that Grandview game and just say, man, I'd like to have another shot at them because you felt like things didn't go right there. A big home win to start the South Division play last week. So, again, you're feeling pretty good about where you're at, but you also can't overlook a couple of these teams coming up here in the next few weeks.
Here we go. Culver's going to get the snap. The penalty was assessed against him, and the quarterback is going to run up the near sideline. And did he get to stay in bounds? He did. They're able to let him stay in bounds, and we've got a half a minute to go. Culver picking up about 3 or 4. We got one more snap coming here probably. Assuming there's no incompletion or no running back comes out of bounds. And Gus, I got to tell you, I got a little problem with Culver Stockton running back back there. He's got absolutely the shiniest back plate. You know,
they've got a couple.
Jaden Neal.
Yeah, Zero down here on the sideline has one too. It's kind of a chrome back plate.
Yeah, sun is just right. It's flashing in the eyes. Now the quarterback's going to keep it. He gets bent backward. Ouch. And that is the final play of the game. And with that, Benedictine moves to 5-1 of the season. We'll return to summarize it for you. Final score today, Ravens 56, Culver Stockton 21.
Knotty Pine Oil is proud to announce the pumps are now open on Old 75 south of Holton. Member agreements are available in the office. The pumps are accessible 24/7, offering premium 91 octane, 87 octane with ethanol, diet and clear diesel, as well as DEF. Knotty Pine is back to their old roots as 82 years later, they honor what Grandpa Fletcher started. Visit them anytime for high quality fuel products and enjoy the convenience of the new location just south of Holton on Old 75 Highway.
Like everything around us, the vape world is changing quickly. One day, it's do-it-yourself kits. The next, it's the easy simplicity of disposable vapes to fit the needs and tastes of all adult vapers. Skyway Vapes is also giving off the 420 signal. Enter a world of legal alternative vapes for a spell of relaxation from the stress of life. How about Wildberry, America's best incense? They have that too. Questions? They've got answers. Products? They've got plenty. Skyway Vapes, 711 Commercial Street in downtown Atchison.
Back with you here in Canton, Missouri, kind of summarizing this today's Benedictine dominant win over Culver Stockton. Gus, as the Ravens take a 56-21 W here this afternoon, but you never know how the impact of the early parts of a game are going to come around and, you know, what lasting effect they're going to have on how this game turns out. But you can flip this score a lot of different ways. And for example, Ravens got them 35-0, and after that, Culver Stockton tied them. And matter of fact, Culver Stockton wins the fourth quarter 14-7. Are the Ravens playing the same way they might have if it would have been a closer game? No. Did a big jump, jumping out in front mean a lot? Certainly did. However, after getting the big lead, didn't feel like the Ravens kept their foot on the throttle.
Yeah, you're going to talk about two coaching staffs that are going to turn around and say the same thing. Tom Sally is going to come down here and talk to his team and say, hey, throw away that ugly first quarter and that terrible start we had. We played a 21-21 game. If you're looking down here at the Ravens sideline and Coach Osborne, you're saying, hey, guys, 35 points in the first quarter was great, but we've got to be better after that. And we talked a little bit about that during the Derek Coon Grill and Chill Keys to the Game, that the Ravens needed to force turnovers and turn them into points. They did that with the Trey Williams scoop and score touchdown. The other thing they needed to do is get over that hump that they've kind of run into in the middle of ball games. We saw it last week against Baker in the third quarter where they had four consecutive drives that ended in punts. They've got to be able to figure out how to come out of the locker room and be a little more effective in the second half.
Yeah, so again, you don't discount the huge lead and how well they played and how that's going to impact how it went. However, for the Ravens, still room to improve, even though they take a game today that found themselves with 27 first downs, 470 total yards of offense, including 285 passing on 19 of 26 throwing the football. Ravens, 185 rushing yards on 41 rushing attempts.
Yeah, Robbie Sharp came in today and gave you, how about that, 10 carries, 66 yards, two rushing touchdowns. Witherspoon in the first half had those 7 for 70 in a touchdown. Your leading receiver today, does it just seem like this is a Jacob Gathright-type number? 4 catches for 128 and a touchdown. But he tends to have 100 yards on the fewest amount of catches possible.
Yeah, his long of 54, averaging 32 a catch. Joseph, 3 catches for 60. And Tanner, good to see the big guy getting in there, 3 catches for 46. And 2 touchdowns today for Zim. So congratulations to him. Congratulations to the Ravens. And for Benedictine, an off day next Saturday. And so we will be enjoying an off day next Saturday as well. I want to thank you for having joined us here today. Again, the final score is the Benedictine Ravens move to 5-1 of the season. It is BC winning it. Final score, Ravens 56, Culver Stockton 21. Till we greet you next time for our man Joseph back in the Care Sports Studio. And for Gus Couch with me here in the booth, Tom Couch saying so long, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Benedictine Raven Football on your local sports authority, KAIR 93.7 FM, part of the MSC Radio Network. Streaming free on the MSC Radio app and online at mscsports.net.